Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is your Commander-in-Chief. I'm issuing a warning. The following podcast contains adult content and intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here at Marina Shafir, and we have Shang, comedian Shang, in studio. Hope everyone had a great week. I had a good week. I'll talk about my week for a second, because it's my podcast along with Marina's. And, we had a big wrestling tournament last week. I love coaching. It's probably the most like purest thing I do. You're just actually just teaching and watching. It's awesome, you know, because this one kid keeps beating my same kid with. His kid on the other team wins by 1 point every week. But my kid's really good. He's a seventh grader. The other kid's an eighth grader. So I was teaching him a low single, and I was like, oh, I hope he pulls it off. And he almost pulled it off. He didn't actually pull it off, but he almost did. But there was one kid who. The kid every day just gets his ass kicked in practice. He's just one of these kids who's, I wouldn't say unathletic, but just, you know, sports have not been kind to him. Let's say that. And every day he comes, but the kid's got so much heart, and he just comes. And I don't know if I would necessarily show up to a sport even when I was in that age where I would just get my ass kicked every day. I mean, just throwing on every single day for, you know, and keeps coming back. Comes to all the optional practices. So finally, this kid won a match. He won like 14-0. He brutalized this kid. And I was so proud of him. I saw his mom and his sister were watching. They had tears in their eyes. And
there's no such thing as losing in practice. That's what you need to tell him.
Really?
Yeah. You need to tell him that, like, there's no such thing as losing in practice. That's the place where you're supposed to get beat.
Well, he doesn't even get frustrated. Like, I get frustrated for him.
Oh,
like
okay.
He doesn't get frustrated. He just shows up, just puts his head down. That's and awesome. It works. And I was so proud of him. And that like made my whole week, actually. That one of those things actually that made my week. And then how was your week? What's going
my
on, Maria?
My week, my mom came into town.
Yes, she's here in studio. Beautiful.
Yay!
I knew she was gonna be beautiful. good job. Good, yeah, that's good for you.
That means
when you grow up, you're not gonna turn into a big heifer. So that's good for you.
Just working all week and getting ready for her to come. She came, cooked me and Shane and Jasmine a whole bunch of food and
nice.
Just showing her around town. My mom hasn't seen me train since I was little.
Right.
She used to never come to tournaments, you know, training sessions because it just, her nerves. I'm the youngest and I'm the only girl in my family, so it just really upset. The one tournament she did go to, she ended up puking in the bathroom.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Nice.
You know, but now she's coming and like she's seeing me train. It's just really
fun. I'm sure she's really proud of you. I'm looking at her right now. She's shaking her head no. But no, kidding. No.
Well,
no.
Can I ask you, is she comfortable with it now? Or?
No, she hates it. She hates that I fight. She wishes that I was, you know, just was a cute little banker and just worked behind a desk. And there's nothing wrong with that. She just wants a safe life for me. That's what moms want. But she sees that it makes me happy and I'm passionate about it and I'm choosing this direction of my life for a reason. So, no.
You should be very proud of your daughter, Marina's mom. She's doing very well. She works her ass off and she works at a coffee shop. She's like a humble girl who actually works, not just one of these girls just expect things to come to her. You know? Yeah.
And she's very beautiful, so she could get a lot of things to come to her.
And she's very loyal to the guy that works on the tugboat.
A lot of guys, sugar daddy's waiting for her.
Now, Shang, I know you recently shot a special. What's going on with you?
I just shot my 1 hour special in New York. Thank everybody in New York for coming out. It was awesome. 1,200 people showed up, and it was packed, and I had a pretty strong set, so we'll see.
Where can people see this?
Oh, Showtime. That's where we're going to go to Showtime.
Nice.
Awesome.
So I did that and did like 1,000 shows while I was in New York. Got to see my family, realize why I hate them.
Yeah.
And I realized, your mom's cool, but my family, I wanted to just.
Come on.
I'm serious. I wanted to feed them rat poison.
Well, my mom is cool, but the rest of my family.
Yeah. So
I just can't believe your family's still alive. I mean, you're like 70.
I'm 75 years old. So when you get my age.
That's great. Good for you. I'm happy you saw your family.
No, yeah. And so did that, did a bunch of shows. So I'm going to see how the special turns out.
Nice. So, I'm sure it'll be great, man.
Yeah, you know me. I've been.
Shane's been one of the guys that I used to look up to as a. I still look up to. He's a hardworking comic and he's an actor, he's a writer, poet at one point.
I was.
Like slam poetry and stuff like that?
Yeah, for real.
What?
I did Deaf Poets. I was a voiceover for Deaf Poets. So, I was the guy like, please welcome to Deaf Poets.
Yeah.
That was me.
So I used to watch you on Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher.
With Bill Maher, yeah.
Back in the day. Yeah. So what? Shane's been awesome. He's been around forever and he's always working.
I'm doing all right.
And big fight fan. So that's why we have him on the
big
podcast.
Big fight fan used to actually do this long time ago. Long.
Speaking of which, a lot of people are asking me, when's T-Rex coming back? Look, I'm going to be honest with this. I'm not going to pull any punches. I love T-Rex. He's a great friend of mine.
Very funny, but
I love the guy. Love the guy. And I'm a huge fan of T-Rex. If you're listening to the podcast, know T-Rex was showing up late all the time. And that would get on my nerves. I'm not going to lie. You know, you have a deal with someone to come on time. I'm not saying 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Sometimes 45 minutes late,
hour.
An hour late. And then telling me day of the show, a lot of times I can't make it. Still, I was like, you know what? He still makes me laugh. His laugh is contagious.
Right.
You know, okay. Then not watching the fights on a fighting podcast was another fucking thing that really would get me irked. Fine. I was still like, you know what? He's one of those guys. He's that guy who, like, you're like, you know, I don't know if you have worked with somebody who just does not really give a shit about the rules.
Right.
But you still love him. So you whatever. Okay, cool. But T-Rex said, I'm done with the podcast. He said, I'm done with the podcast. Because all I said is, dude, we got to talk about this. He said, I'm done. And now maybe, look, when someone says they're done, my only option is to move forward. That's it. If I can't beg people to want to come to the podcast.
He tapped out.
You know,
he tapped out. Look, that's it. You tapped.
Now, listen. So we're going to try having new comics in for every week. We got Shang this week, Greg Wilson next week. We got other people coming in, okay? And we're going to see how it goes. I love having comics here.
Right,
I'm a fucking comic. You know, a comic and another comic make each other funnier.
I love to laugh.
Marina loves to laugh. Yeah. We have a girl with legitimate fighting experience on the show. None of us have ever. I mean, I've got.
She tries to watch the fights whenever she's not working.
I actually watch the fights.
Yes,
I actually watch the fights, and I
watched the
actually,
fights last weekend. Though, so, yeah.
we're going to talk about that.
And I actually competed, but that was years ago.
Yeah, that was
PKA Full Contact.
Really?
Yeah, PKA Full Contact Regionals, Washington Regionals. I won. And then I just was in so much pain all the time, man. I was like, yo, jokes is easier.
You're way easier.
Way easier. So, yeah, I did PK and Master Go and Master Big Jim. I was with House of Champions.
Right.
And Big Jim. And so Frank Friedman,
yeah,
who I used to train with and used to kick my ass every day. I used to like.
Did you cry?
No, I never cried, but I did dread it. Alone, I cried like a bitch.
I actually sparred one time in my life, and then I got a real bad headache that night, and I was like, man, fuck this.
Yo, I've been knocked out 3 times.
Really?
Only in sparring and practice, never in an actual fight, but
knocked out cold.
Unconscious. Dude,
what kind of fucking sparring did you go to?
64 years old, knocked me out, Master Go.
Wow.
Me unconscious. All I saw was white light. I'm kidding, and I kidding you. And then I woke up, and then I was like, wow, why am I dressed in...
Was that before there was headgear? Was there headgear invented back then or no?
No, we were doing it without the headgear like a dummy. Yeah, unconscious, man.
Wow.
And I had to outweigh him by, had to be 50 pounds. He just beat my ass.
Arena, have you ever been knocked down sparring?
No.
Have you ever been knocked down in sparring?
No.
Really?
No.
See?
I've never been, like, need... The only time I ever took a knee while sparring was because I was sparring without a mouthpiece. And I bit my tongue like 4 times and like it was like gagging me.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but I've never, anytime I
feel. Is that
the
only time you ever gagged or? All right, go on. Go on.
Yo,
go
that
on,
was right there.
All right,
come on.
Go on.
I don't gag any other time.
Nice. Wow.
Wow.
If you listen to that, Marina does not gag, okay?
And I
can't wait to see the memes for this one. Marina,
there's
going to
be a ton of Twitters.
I have this mental tic that whenever I spar and I feel anything in my body, if anybody takes a body shot on me and I feel it, as soon as I'm done with sparring, I take one of those 8 or 10 pound medicine balls. And I have somebody drop it on my stomach and condition my stomach, like, after sparring.
Wow.
Because, like, I will never, ever, ever be dropped by body shot, ever.
Wow.
I never been dropped by a body shop, but now instead of having them drop a medicine ball, I have them drop pie.
Nice.
I like, yeah. Yeah.
Pie must feel
now,
real nice.
I just
warm
like, yeah, nice big apple pie now.
I've actually had a girl drop it with a body shot one time. Well, she did an actual body shot. She took a shot of alcohol and put on her body.
That's and what I was she going was, for.
I knew that was coming.
She was so hot that I just was like, whoa.
I had to do it. But no, I think that, like, my main thing was never a body shot. It was actually old school roundhouse kick, got me right in the temple, and it was a wrap.
Yeah,
and I was like, yo, when I woke up.
Now, what year was this?
Literally, this is Jesus.
1990.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
No, I remember. No, Shang's a beast. You're a guy that I would not fuck with.
It was so weird. I was thinking, oh, I'm so much bigger than this dude. It's a wrap. I'm gonna crush this guy, and he absolutely just destroyed me. So
no, you never, got didn't you have to do some time for fucking somebody up one time?
When I was bring that up on the podcast. Yeah, then the booking go, well, you know what? We don't know if we can book him anymore.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah, it was a forced vacation from the government for a little bit, but it wasn't my fault. It was like the dude didn't understand.
You're teaching an asshole lesson.
I was like, leave me alone, dude. And you know what? That's why I respect UFC fighters more. That's why when I started watching it, it's like I know they get tested all the time.
Yeah.
And I saw a video on Boss got tested once, and he just destroyed like three dudes. It's like, yeah, I can actually hurt you for real, but you don't want to.
No, Chris Camozzi told me that as soon as he became a pro fighter, like at least 8 times at bars, guys would take sucker punches at him, which I think would be the dumbest thing ever.
Right.
When I started fighting and I was still in New York, I would go out with my friends still, and this is when I was, like, changing my lifestyle. Like, stopped drinking and stuff. And I was just the girl, the sober chick. You know,
right.
The driver and everything. My friends were all hard asses in Albany, New York. And they would pick fights and run behind me. And I'm just standing there like, I can't touch these people. I will get in so much fucking trouble.
Right.
Like, I can't do anything about that.
That happened to me this weekend, actually. I went to the AVNs this weekend.
Of course, you did.
I didn't go to the
actual
party.
Just for research. Yeah.
But here's what happened. My buddy was like, it was a Friday night. I didn't have any shows. My buddy's like, hey, man, you want to go to a couple AVN parties? I'm like, sure, man.
Right.
And like, why not? Because a couple of years ago we went, and it was just
AVN
adult the porn
oh,
party.
Oh, that's
it's
right, the porn parties now, that you invited me and my mom to go to.
Yes,
I'm sure your mom would be like, "Oh,
I really,
those.
I would have loved to see your mom's face at the porn party."
Yeah, some guy named Johnny Schlong.
So
yeah, I think your mother's attractive. Yo, I'm gonna have to beat your ass.
So what happened was, I was like, "All right, let's do it." So we drive to Vegas. You know, like all right, and of course, like years ago when we weren't looking for any really fun parties, it was just naked girls everywhere. You know, just insane. I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy. Like some of the stuff we saw, we were at like a suite with a bowling alley at the Hard Rock, and my friend is like going down on this girl at the bar. I mean, just insaneness.
What?
Yeah, it was just.
So nobody at the bar noticed the
no,
guy
and
going.
People didn't care. There was girls walking around naked. It was. So I'm like, let's go back. This would be fun to watch, you know? None of that happened this time. It was of course.
Lame.
Well, right.
It's always when you're looking for it, nothing.
It never happened.
Of course. Every party we went to, they're like, oh, you know, you have to have a wristband. It's just some nonsense.
So now one person went down on another person while you were there.
I didn't see any of that.
God damn it.
The only thing I saw was that
Did you try to trip someone? Maybe that would help.
Yeah, trip.
It's like a domino effect. You know, you trip somebody and then the rest of them kind of fall.
I should have done that.
Get them in a cock omoplata. And you're like, oh, shit.
That never seems to work, the cock omoplatas.
It never works.
No, I didn't see any of that. I saw nothing. And the thing was, the only thing I saw was my future saying, I'm too old for this shit. What am I doing? We literally left the next day going, what the fuck was that? And we went for one night. It was totally stupid.
I couldn't go to some. I get like overload. I get sex overload. I would just freak out. And plus, I got a lady and she'll kill me.
A couple guys that we saw were like, we saw these dudes that were like literally in, dressed up as like these men that were dressed up as women. But they weren't even trying to be women. They were like he shoots like linebacker. Like, hey, I'm Todd. Hey, I'm, and they're like in dresses and wigs. Like, hey, I'm Steven. What's going on? You watching the game tomorrow? That was strange.
Were their legs shaven? Did you?
Because that's important.
I just kind of like looked down and I'm like, what the fuck am I looking at right now? And then that
they weren't even trying. Oh,
weren't even trying.
They weren't even trying to change their voice a little bit.
No.
Like, hi, Adam.
No, it was like hanging out with dudes, so just wearing dresses and wigs. There was that, and then some other girl. I met a couple that I knew. This kid Chad, who was like, his wife was like, yeah, I'm into humiliation sex. She starts telling me. I was like, what's that? And she's like, well, I like to get anal while going down on a guy while getting a tattoo in like public.
What?
Yeah, that was what they were into. So that's what I experienced.
You know how bored you have to be with sex to make up that shit? I like him with a rabbit, and then I like when somebody's kicking me in the side while I'm blowing a guy. She's retarded and should be euthanized.
Oh my God.
That's the dumbest shit. No, like, yeah, just, you know.
Why would anybody want to reproduce with somebody like that?
Yeah,
like, I don't get it.
They found each other.
And they're gonna
so
have
so weird.
They're gonna have little kids who eat crayons and lick windows. That's what they're gonna have.
That's what we saw.
Yeah.
So that, but anyway, the whole point of me bringing this up was that my friend was convinced that there was a undercover cop next to him, and he was like, "You're a cop trying to bust me for something," and I'm next to him, and this guy was a big dude, and I'm like, "Dude, this guy might hit you," and he's like, "Yeah, but then you'll kick his ass." I'm like, well, first of all, I got a torn ACL.
You're like, I'm not doing any of that.
I'm not shooting a double. I'm not doing any. Maybe I'll stand there like a rock and sock. What am I getting?
Adam's gotten a lot of fights with comics, though.
I've gotten two.
He's gotten two. Don't even try it. I know you.
Yeah,
two.
Yeah. One big fight. A comic sucker punched me, and I just left.
Why?
He said I took a joke from him.
Plus, he's an ass.
What joke did you take?
I don't even know the joke. I don't even watch the guy. But he's been known for bullying other comics. And I went off stage and he punched me. And I had literally been working on Ellis Mania, Jason Ellis show, for like all week. So I was fighting for like an entire week. And I was just like, not today. So I just like did like a four-piece combo. And then like I grabbed his – I tried to do a Muay Thai clinch and just start kneeing him. Yeah,
you
yeah.
Did the plum.
I did the plum on him. But then like people were holding me back. So I threw a knee. And I missed him by like an inch. But then I went down as like a legend. Literally, all these big comics came up to me.
Yeah, we were like got him.
I mean, guys, like...
We don't like the guy.
Everybody's wanted to beat him up for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then it was like, the guy was drunk, and I think he just thought he was just going to punch me, and that was going to be it. But I'm like, dude, somebody punches you, you know.
It's on. That's the only time I would. I mean...
And how hard can comics like really hit unless it's...
He gave me six stitches in my mouth. He hit me pretty hard.
You're not supposed to talk about that. Like, you see these stitches? I ate these stitches.
I've had a person in the audience. I've had a person in the audience. I hit one guy with a mic stand in the face.
What?
Because I'm like, you know what, fuck it.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm not kidding you. In Philly. And then another guy where he came up on the stage and I just got him. He was so easy. He threw that standard, you know, overhook bullshit. And I just caught him and just got him and started choking him the fuck out.
Really? During the show?
It was fantastic. I got fired because you're not supposed to choke out the patrons.
Was this like your opener? Or how do you follow that?
How you follow that? No, I seriously. And then the club owner was like, you never do that. What's wrong with you? And they dragged me out. But it was like, yo, you don't run up on stage at me.
Ah.
And it's like, that's bullshit. And then there was another show I did. The opener got his ass beat. Some flamboyantly gay guy. Ran up on stage. I don't like your gay jokes, bitch. And start smacking him around. And then he said, you want some of this? I said, dude, really? Just sashay your ass away from me.
Yeah.
And then he kept going. So I just gave him one right there to the nose, man.
You broke a gay guy's nose?
I didn't break his nose. I just gave him like a quick one.
Like a bastard and
just bam.
Face
and,
plant.
And he just in blood. He said, then he went, oh my God, my beautiful nose.
No.
No bullshit.
This I'll really happened?
It was comic. Yeah. And the comic's name is Rodney Wilson. He's a bitch. He got beat up badly by the gay dude on stage. It was a hood gig. It was one of those hood gigs. I had tied a one-nighter to a legitimate gig. I was doing an improv, and I said, well, if you can give me $150, I'm already in town. And it was like hood, like a two-gun minimum to get in that bitch.
Two-gun minimum.
It was like straight thugs. But there was this gay dude in the front. He's like, I don't like your gay jokes. And he whispered with, I like your gay jokes. And it was like, if he wouldn't have came at me, I'm like, I'm not even in the fight. Beat him up.
Yeah.
That's
the
feature. Beat the feature up because he was horrible too. He was not funny. He was funny as throat cancer. So I was saying, somebody beat this dude up. He was horrible.
Now, last time you came on the podcast, we'll talk about this.
Oh my God.
You were convinced that you could take Ronda Rousey in a fight. Now, we argued.
We argued
for
this
like
is the truth.
An hour on the road that I said that she would kill you. Not she would kill you.
Oh,
you
good
would,
job, Adam.
You would, I said you would tire out. You haven't trained in 10 years.
I know.
Okay.
You're right. I trained even now, I still probably.
No. Now that her roommate is here,
no, I'm
all
not
of a sudden the story.
Pictures, I'll tell you why. Okay. I'm saying a younger me. I would never try to get close.
Is she younger too? Like 2 months old? Or no?
Yeah, she'd have to be younger too.
No, okay. a younger her, you.
No, a younger me.
Yes.
After watching her fights, everybody gets close to her. Don't get close to her. Use your length. Use that John Jones length, and I got that length, and I would be like, yo, I'm not letting...
It's just funny because for how long do you think you could run away from her?
And I would run. I would run
as long... She is in her prime.
I would run as long as it would take.
You realize there's like in an octagon or just in an open space, you can keep running?
Space. Yeah, no. Oh,
okay. So you would just run away?
I would run all the way to Culver City.
Like Forrest Gump running? I would Forrest Gump running.
No, we're talking about in an octagon.
In an octagon,
you would probably...
Even a young me?
Yeah, a young you.
Oh, I don't know. I probably, maybe first round, I'd have a chance.
You really think?
I'd have a chance.
But this girl trains five hours a day.
I'm saying the old me would have a chance. Not that I would win. I'd have a
chance. How much did you weigh the old you?
I was like 205.
So you're 205, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm 270.
And then you trained for how long?
How long did
What belt were you?
Black.
You were a black belt.
Black and brown. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And what type
Aikido,
of art?
Taekwondo, and judo. So
judo.
Yeah.
You were a judo black belt.
I'm telling you, I would.
What was
got
your best judo move?
My best judo move. I couldn't even say now against somebody like her. No, I wouldn't. I don't know. I don't need help. Okay. She actually did a little whisper. I don't need help.
Shang, I love you, man.
I can show you my video.
I love you. I just don't think.
Ronda Rousey. Let me tell you something, Ronda Rousey.
No.
Listen. She would. Okay. Let's be real. Anybody that I don't want to hear all the fucking tweets I'm gonna get from this. I'm gonna tell the truth. I was joking before. I would.
Serious now.
Let's be serious now. She would rip my arm off and shove it through my asshole into my brain. Okay.
Pick your nose a little.
And pick my nose with my own decapitated arm, okay? Okay, because she's a beast. Now, I'm saying, I just thought, because I had good stand-up,
yes.
I was very good, and my kicks were extremely strong,
yes.
That I could probably, maybe a half a round, keep her off of me, and then I would probably end up in a ridiculous
Marina's mom
armbar.
Is dying laughing, by the way.
I would end up in
I've
an
never
armbar.
Seen her laugh, by the way.
Because everybody that she's fought has been the victim of that armbar, and I thought... Keep the distance, stay away, run as much. I haven't seen anybody run from her yet.
All right.
Have you? And just keep a distance. And
Marina, what are your thoughts?
Jab, jab, jab.
We got your opinion. All right, we got
no,
this.
I just like Marina. How it's ending. Like, that's a really good strategy, but I just like that he's like succumbing to the fact that, she's probably going to fucking rip my arm off.
But I'd be good for maybe.
That's because
like
you're here.
Minutes.
That's
yeah.
because
two
you're
minutes.
Here.
Thank you.
That's because
no,
you're
that's
here.
That's not because she's
that's
here.
That's totally because she's
you
here.
Think, I already knew I was coming here and she would be here.
No.
So I'm telling you.
But when she wasn't
the
here,
first two
it was
minutes,
a bit,
Ronda Rousey would have problems.
When Marina wasn't here, this
that
was a
third,
whole
no,
different
hold
fucking
up.
Story.
That third minute would be a wrap for me, but that first 2 minutes.
For 2 minutes, okay. You would on those haymakers on, as we say.
Not haymakers.
Last time you said you would do a titty twister and stuff.
The titty twister is a brutal move.
An elbow in the boob.
An elbow in the boob is a fantastic move.
I have been punched in the boob
really
last week, and that shit fucking hurts.
It hurts.
How big are your boobs, by the way? All right. Okay. All right. Fine. I'm guessing C's. C's?
No. Like, no C's. They're like barely there.
Really?
Yeah.
But even a barely there boob can't take an elbow.
No. Yeah. That shit.
I'm talking about
they're
B's
are barely there.
If you get hit like directly in the center of your titty, if you're a chick,
if you throw,
and these all of your female listeners will agree with me, that shit stings for like a week. It hurts.
And it'll back somebody up. I'm saying it'll back up. Ronda Rousey comes straight forward. Her hands are getting better now. I've seen her stand up now. Her hands are better. It's,
all right, let's talk about. Okay, let's
it's
okay,
her
okay.
Saving
okay
move
Shang,
and you
I got
know
you.
It.
I love you, Shang. Okay, let's
would
talk
you,
about.
You say it?
Yeah,
all right, let's talk about the real some real fighting that
real fighting
that went plays this week.
We got it first. When you tell me which one you can talk about, because I'm going to say the one I called and a whole bunch of people on Twitter. Everybody, welcome to the United States of my dick, because I was right. I was
States of my dick.
I was right.
All right. Welcome. Okay.
Okay. Which one are you going to go with?
The Anthony Johnson versus Gustafson. That fight we called that fight pretty much. Right. Pretty much we said
we
that
both
was...
wanted. We both we like. I wanted Gustafson to win, but I knew it's just not going to happen.
You know, you think about that fight. A lot of things about that fight. First of all, Anthony Johnson is such a freak athlete and such a great athlete, and I'm so happy for him because
he was ecstatic.
And he's also a guy that's been around. He's been up and down. I mean, literally, he was down. When he got beat by Vitor Belfort, that was an embarrassing. He missed weight by 13 pounds. He almost died.
Right.
Came back. You know, went up two weight classes. Went to the World Series. Went to Titan FC. Then the World Series of Fighting.
Right.
Now he's in the UFC. You got to give the guy credit for what it's doing. I mean,
he was let go because he wasn't making weight.
Yeah, because
To see him come back, one, I was happy for him, even though I did want a rematch with Jones. I did want to see that rematch because I think he beat Jones. I personally think.
Right.
I think Gustav beat him. I think he beat him. But I wanted to see a rematch. But then when I was like, yo, but I'm rooting for this guy. He's had so much down that when he came in, I just was sitting there going, this dude's a beast. And his last fights, man, he said he's a freak. He's an X-Men.
I mean, he really is.
You know what I really respect about him is that he'd never really made any excuses along the way. Like, he had to explain himself, but you never really saw him on social media or anything, like, making excuses for himself.
He admitted his faults, right.
Like, he admitted that, like, he was in the wrong weight division, and now he's just kind of, like, reinventing himself as a fighter in a different direction.
Yeah,
and
no.
It's just really respectful, like, even with the win, he was really humble with the win.
And he felt bad.
Yeah.
Because he felt bad. He said, man, I'm sorry this dude is crying, but, you know, I had to do what I had to do.
Yeah.
And he was popping his, I mean.
Yeah, at the same time, he did get caught a couple times by Gus in that fight. Mm-hmm. And he did come in with his hands down after he had Gus hurt. And I don't think he respected Gus's power at all. But against other guys, let's say he did that against, let's say he had hurt Glover. Or he had hurt some of the other big 205 pounders, even like a guy like Rashad Evans, you know.
Rashad Evans, okay. What a clock.
I mean, he might have opened himself. He was leaving himself very vulnerable for counterattacks. And Gus hit him with an uppercut a couple times.
Yeah.
I mean,
but,
look.
But it didn't shake him.
Didn't shake him. And maybe he wouldn't have done that against
He walked right through him.
He was super focused. Now, you could totally tell in the whole fight that no matter what Gus threw at him, it wasn't going to break his focus in that fight.
Now, against John Jones, that's the next fight. And Jones is funny because after that fight, John Jones puts on Twitter, Alex not impressed, and then deletes it. This was the same thing Alex did.
Why are you deleting your tweets?
Well, he said because he did the same, that Alex did the same thing against him.
Jones is out of his mind, number one. Now, Jones is out of his mind because he hasn't ran up against someone that punches like this dude.
Yeah, he has.
Not like this.
Yes, he has. Glover punches pretty.
But he's not he's not a freak athlete like Anthony is.
Rampage.
Oh, Rampage Jackson hits as hard.
Okay, Rampage did rock him. You're right. Rampage rocked him like four times.
But I mean, Cormier hits fucking hard. Cormier knocked out Bigfoot Silva with one punch.
Cormier, again, distance. It was the distance.
Jones
has pterodactyl.
But what you said was that no one hits as hard as these guys. I'm saying,
but his hits as hard and is athletic.
Oh, Anthony Johnson's going to be a whole new thing. It's just a matter to me. It's about what Anthony Johnson, if he can keep himself there mentally.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had some problems outside the octagon,
but he's focused.
He's
got
to remember that it's not going to be sprint. It's going to be a marathon.
He's never been in that type of a big fight before. I mean, when you're getting the light heavyweight championship, all the interviews,
the media,
all the media,
the coverage, the pressure,
all this other stuff that happened from his past is all going to come out again.
But I think he's focused now. I see him as every fight I've watched. He's been focused. I haven't seen him make those mental mistakes.
I hope so. I mean, he's been looking great.
It's the mental mistakes.
But personally,
his weight's on point.
I hate to admit it, but I think if I had to bet on that fight tomorrow, I would say Jones.
What?
Yeah,
I
hate.
Are you serious?
I am serious. I'm serious because
you know what?
He's going to be coming back from this whole cocaine scandal. He's going to have a lot of proving to do. He's going to.
You know what?
Taking
that back.
Jones is going to be like in another stage of his fighting career. Like, he's going to have to prove a lot of people wrong, especially his close family.
Very much so.
Yeah,
you're right.
If you study Jones's camps. He really, like, he thrives off of, like, internal, like...
conflict?
Internal conflict and going through that internal revelation and, like, evolving as a fighter. He gets off on that. Like,
actually, you know what? I'm taking that back. I'm taking my comment back. I'm retracting that.
Are you going to in the same show? You're going to retract.
I'm the same 5 minutes later. I don't know who wins that fight.
All right, I know who wins that fight.
Who?
I know. I think that Rumble wins.
Really?
I think Rumble wins because okay.
After that fight happens, you and I, he has to come back on the podcast, and we're going to talk about it.
Okay, you know why say he's going to win?
He's going to talk about it regardless. You're going to hear him talking about whether he's here or not.
I'm
going to be outside talking.
I tweet the shit out of it. Let me tell you why. Because, okay, Jones does have a lot to prove, but there is a different kind of pressure after this cocaine scandal that's going to be on him than it is going to be on Rumble.
Yeah, but it's not any kind of pressure he's not used to.
Oh, this is a little different. Cocaine scandal's a little bit more pressure.
It is a little bit more pressure, but pressure is pressure, okay? Like, it's not... He might have a little bit more of attention media-wise.
Right,
but
negative attention.
Let's talk about the fight that him and Cormier got into. That was a huge thing. Let's talk about the interview where they thought that they stopped recording and he was talking shit.
A little different to Cormier. Though.
It's a little bit different, but look, it's going to be the same amount of media scandal, media pressure, and media attention. He's going to get off on... He loves that shit.
I don't know.
Why hasn't anybody learned that about him? Because, he loves the attention.
Well, the thing is... with all that being said, Jon Jones is also a fucking freak athlete.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
I mean,
Jon Jones
that's the thing. And the thing about the look, I think Jones has a. I mean, I think Rumble has a really good shot at beating him in the first two rounds.
Yes,
I think if he comes out guns a blazing, he just throws fucking
pressures him, stays in his face.
Jones has never. You're right about that. I don't think he's ever faced as good of an athlete as Rumble Johnson.
Cormier is don't get me
in
wrong.
In their prime.
Great wrestler.
In their prime. And Rampage in his prime is a different. Rampage against Vanderlei Silva is a different caliber athlete. But we're talking about in their prime. However, will he fade down the stretch? And that's in a 5-round fight. I could sort of that round four. When was the last time Johnson was in a 5-round fight? I mean, has he ever been in a 5-round fight?
No, he trains to not be in a 5-round fight.
Right. He goes for the knockout.
Yes.
He goes for the finish. Don't leave it to the judges. The point I'm saying is he hasn't had anybody that was straight like athlete freak like himself. Cormier wasn't like on the same level as Jones.
Athlete freak?
No,
can't get a better. Cormier's a good athlete.
Yeah. He's not at the same level as Jones. I think that Rumble is the same level as Jones.
I think. Yeah.
Athletically?
They're all good athletes.
No, they're all good athletes, but there's people that are a little bit, got that extra.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I think Rumble's going to get him in the second round. I think that's it. He's going to feel him out, stay in his chest,
chest. But, I know, but
don't
the,
let
the,
him
but
get
the thing
those
is,
fucking
is that,
elbows
is that Winkle,
off. If he gets those
you're
elbows
right, but
off.
Fucking Winklejohn and Greg Jackson are such good game planners that you don't think that they're just going to spend all day. I mean, we're not talking about some kind of, not middle of the run fighter they're going to watch. They're going to study everything Johnson does. They're going to look at every one of his fights.
If Johnson doesn't have any mental breaks, because that's his problem.
It's a big if.
But he's been I'm saying he's lately.
You also told me that Anderson Silva was going to beat Weidman in the second fight.
Let me tell you why I thought he was going to beat him. And he
we all thought that.
Okay.
I did not think that.
I did think that.
I thought that.
I wasn't the only one. We took a poll. Stop it. I had like almost 10,000
people. Did you remember
people.
The poll, goddammit?
You took,
they
the
took
poll.
A poll.
He took a poll and stuck it up his ass because that's he fucked himself
that's bullshit.
After
Let me
I
tell
won
you something. And you know what? That accident was an anomaly where he kicked him. And if you look at it, when he started teeing off on him, when he started hitting him and kicking him, he started backing him up, and
he destroyed him.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
The first fight within 30 seconds, Silva was almost out. He was almost out.
No, he wasn't.
You rewatch the fight.
All
right, other fights
I'm
this
totally
weekend.
With you.
I thought he was going to win.
I'm all about the black and yellow.
Look. As far
let's
as Anderson,
let's move on. You wanted to move on. We're just making our final comments about
let's
it.
Let's talk about some.
Okay. We'll talk about. Oh yeah.
We're still talking about the fights.
All right. Other fights. Dan Henderson versus Musasi. We knew that was going to happen. I didn't realize how quick it was going to happen.
Musasi punches like a fucking truck.
Yeah. But he hit him like it was. I guess it's the punches that you don't see coming are the ones that really hurt you.
Right.
Yes.
And Dan didn't see that coming. Yeah. Maybe I don't know if it's his bad eyesight because he's 90
the fact that he's 90. Yeah, that might have been it.
What? I'm a huge.
He punched him in the colostomy bag like pow.
I mean, yeah.
I fucking love Henderson though because do you guys see his post fight interview? He's like, I don't give a fuck about head injuries. Like, I just want to get back in there immediately.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but he only has the H-bomb thing, and he doesn't fight somebody with...
Someone that
comes with a straightforward, some straightforward jabs and good boxing, he has a problem.
He doesn't only have that. I mean, he was an Olympian wrestler, a Greco-Roman wrestler. I mean, he happens to be a great fighter. He's just... He's 44 years old.
And time wears down anybody.
And he's been in wars. It's a young man's game. And I honestly think that even if he doesn't care about head injuries, the people around him,
the people that love him, should be like, listen, head injuries.
We care about head injuries. I mean, you know, to the point where you see people with head injuries. I mean, look, I'm not saying that, you know, Jermaine Taylor, he's the next Jermaine Taylor. He's not going to go murder people or shoot people.
But he might be like, I like pudding soon.
Well, that, but also, I mean, people with head injuries do fucking terrible. I mean, people with head injuries do terrible shit.
But. Did you see the eye? Did you see his eyelid?
Yeah.
It was, oh, ugh.
So, yeah, that was rough to watch. And I honestly think that, I tweeted out that I think that Rogan should have him on his podcast to have the talk that he had with Chow, with Hendo. But
Hendo would probably try to knock out Rogan, like a real fighter would.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Like, don't tell me when to stop fighting.
You think Chow's a real fighter?
Well, here's the thing is, if any fighter was sitting there in the podcast with Rogan and just taking it and taking it and taking it, there would have been a point where I would have just been like, all right, motherfucker, we're not talking about this anymore, or I would get up and leave. I'm not going to let
get
somebody...
Get up and leave or get up
if you're really passionate about fighting and if you're a real fighter, you're not going to sit there and be told that you should retire. Like, you should be pissed off enough to just, like That's
who you are. That's your life.
Yeah, that's
from
your
the
life.
Time you
and
wake
you're gonna
up.
You're going to have somebody tell you. Like, I understand they have a friendly, you know, they have a friendship and it's different. But on a podcast, I'm sorry, that shit is not happening.
If anything, pull me to the side. Pull me to the side and suggest it.
Yeah.
But don't beat me into the ground with it.
And
I'm a Rogan fan.
Joe made amazing. Yeah, he made some amazing points. He made some, like, very real observations for Shab that I didn't think Shab saw, but... If I was Shab, I would have either told him in, like, private or just gotten up and be like, you know what? I'm not here for that.
Same thing with Liddell. It was the same situation, too. It was a certain point where he was getting knocked out a lot.
Right.
Well, personally, I think that, you know, Shab, after you lose... 2 days later, you shouldn't be on a podcast.
No.
I mean, unless it's a controlled environment where you're on the phone or something. You know, and Shab wanted that to happen. He said, I want to have this talk here. And if you look, if that's what you're asking for...
That's what the fans want.
Yeah.
The fans, yeah. And that's the ones that but that's the shit that makes
At the end of the day, though...
You gotta do
at the end of the day...
Does it really make him that much money, though? Does it?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the fans are... You come into the world naked, and you die naked. Yeah. You die alone. And
it's that,
yourself.
That's what my mama says.
But you don't have to deal with the fans.
Hold on, let me speak. Let me speak.
Okay, I got it.
I love you saying this. You're one of my
best
friends.
You gotta deal with the fucking fans, man.
No. What I'm saying is... Well, look, here's what I'm saying, is that at the end of the day, you obviously love the fans. The fans give you adulation. The fans
money.
Love you. The fans give you money. However, you know, it's you that's in there, and you have to take care of yourself.
That's all
I'm saying.
I disagree.
The fans happened because they support who you are and what you're doing. As soon as you start doing what your fans want, what the fuck are you doing? I'm sorry. Like, I'm really grateful for the people who support me. A lot of the people who support me that I don't even know, I'm really grateful. I really wouldn't, you know, it's nice to see positive reinforcement from people. But I'm still going
to
do what the fuck I want
to
do.
If they
like it, cool. If they don't like it, cool too. Go on with your life.
No, ultimately, it's up to that fighter. And a fighter, to me, it's like...
Did you hear what happened with Rogan and Chow? You know what we're talking about?
Yeah. I just thought it was too much.
You thought it was too much.
I thought it was too much.
Way too much.
It was to the point where I was sitting there going, Joe.
Yeah.
Joe, what are you doing, Joe?
But it's his podcast, and that's who Joe is, and he didn't apologize because that's
it was way too much.
Yeah. Why did you become Italian though? I don't understand.
Because that's how I felt at the time. Joe, what are you doing,
Rogan.
Joe? But
that's more Jewish. Jewish.
No,
that was
whatever.
No, I'm saying
it was a mixed.
I think that there was a certain point where I was like, "Yo, punch Joe in the face."
Come on.
Yes.
Joe can go though. So I mean, I don't.
Who do you think wins, Joe or Shab?
Joe.
Joe? Sure. You think Joe beats Brendan Schaub in a fight?
Yes. Absolutely.
Really?
Yes. Joe's a monster.
Dude, Joe's a fucking monster. Have you seen him?
What? That would mean... That okay. Come on.
No.
With all due respect to Joe Rogan, okay, who's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, and I...
Taekwondo.
And a fucking beast in
Taekwondo,
the gym.
He was.
In the gym.
But Schaub is a top 10 right now.
Not anymore.
All right,
not
top anymore. 15 UFC heavyweight.
Does that mean anything?
So are you saying that Rogan could be a top 15 UFC heavyweight?
Yes, no. I do.
You're out of your fucking mind.
No, but Rogan... But no, Rogan can go, though.
Wait, but Rogan some people here believe that he might shouldn't be on the top 15. Brendan.
Okay. All right, let's say he's top 20. You're saying that Joe Rogan could beat people in the top 20 in heavyweight.
I'm talking about Brendan, okay? I'm talking about Brendan. I'm not talking about top 15, top 20, nothing. I'm talking about Brendan Schaub. Joe Rogan would probably beat him in a sparring match. I'm just saying.
You think Rogan could beat Schaub in a sparring match? I disagree.
In a sparring match, yeah, absolutely.
I think maybe on the...
Have you seen Rogan?
In a jiu-jitsu match. In a jiu-jitsu match.
Yeah, but do you know Brendan only has a brown belt in jiu-jitsu?
So I'm saying, so Rogan wins in a jiu-jitsu match.
And striking.
In a striking
Brendan
match?
Brendan has no fucking striking.
Really?
Yes. Really.
Come on. I've seen him.
He does great pad work. I've seen him, you know, I've seen him do mitts and whatever and
all
that
shit. You think Joe could be Matt Mitrione?
Mm.
Schaub choked out Mitrione in one round.
Maybe.
Come on. There's no way.
Did you see you everybody out there?
Yeah, we're talking about one person and he keeps like adding people into it. I'm talking about one person.
So let's see, could he be, you know,
look,
you start
Schaub
adding
isn't
people.
The biggest fan of me, okay? But I'm going to call RoboCop.
Listen, me and Brendan don't have a problem either, but I'm just saying from what I've seen and from his performances, he's just not that impressive of a fighter. Believe me, Joe Rogan has more of an eye of the tiger than Brendan ever will. I'm telling you that right now. You know why?
Why?
Because he's been in the fight business since Brendan was fucking born.
Okay,
pretty much.
So is Larry Merchant. Does that mean that
he understands.
If I was younger, Floyd Mayweather, I'd kick your ass.
Does that mean that Larry Merchant could beat anybody in the top 20?
Physically, and still has that
he's
fire.
Still, yeah, absolutely.
And, have you seen this motherfucker spar?
I'm not discrediting Joe Rogan, okay? I know how tough and how good of a fighter
Joe
Rogan is.
Okay, no, you're
Rogan
just
is.
Not accepting our answer. We keep telling you, yes, Brendan Schaub is going to get beat by Joe Rogan. And you're like, I don't know, top 15.
If Joe hears this, I've watched,
you guys are crazy. I don't believe it.
Okay, we can move on to the next one, but I'm telling you, because there's two other people.
All right, we have Ken Shamrock on the podcast. We're calling him right now.
Okay.
Okay, and
I can take down Ken Shamrock, too.
I can't wait for this. All right. Hey, is this Ken Shamrock?
It is.
Hey, how's it going? It's Adam Hunter with the MMA Roasted Podcast. I'm here at Marina Shafir and Shang Forbes. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good, man. I it's an honor to have you on the show. You're obviously one of the best fighters of all time.
A legend.
You're a UFC Hall of Famer, a pro wrestler, and you know, in the WWE Intercontinental Champion, Tag Team Champion. You got UFC Champion. It's amazing.
And a bad motherfucker.
The world's most dangerous man.
Also known as a champion.
I had to add that in there.
So how are you?
Yeah, well, listen, I appreciate you guys having me on, and it's definitely a blessing to always be able to talk to my fans.
Oh, please do. Now you have a bare knuckle fight coming up.
Oh, come on, man! As real as it gets.
Right? I mean, seriously, you're fighting someone in a bare knuckle fight in England, right?
Yeah. Not only am I just fighting somebody in bare knuckle fight, I'm fighting a legend in bare knuckle fighting, a guy who hasn't been beaten yet.
Wow. Now, so when is this? And tell me how you're preparing for this and talk to me about this.
Well, I tell you, it came up. I got to really start evaluating my health, start looking at some situations. I started feeling good. I got some things fixed. And I was like, wow, this is a blessing, man, to be where I'm at right now and to have the opportunity that I have after all the things I've been through. I started looking at the bare knuckle. I got an offer. So I took that offer and I started looking around to see if it was going to be feasible. And as I looked, man, I started seeing all kinds of opportunities. Everybody's watching bare knuckle. Everybody was looking and seeing these type of fights. And I thought, you know what? If I could just take this and bring it to where No Holds Barred was when it first started out, bare knuckle, and be able to do the same thing I did with that for bare knuckle, because people originally went in and saw NHB because it was bare knuckle. It wasn't submissions. No one knew anything about that. The thing that drew them was like, whoa, these dudes are going to get in the ring and fight with no gloves. So I know that interest is there. I know that's what people want to watch. And so I thought to myself, this is a great opportunity to step in on something in the beginning again and being in the forefront of something again and be able to raise it to a level of professionalism.
Now, how are you training for this?
Very carefully. lots of movement and don't get hit.
I mean, are you at the gym every day with like bare knuckles? Like, I mean,
yeah. Like, are you doing like the Jean-Claude Van Damme thing where he sticks his fist in glass and just like grates his hand and like? Just...
Yeah.
Did you just quote Bloodsport?
Really, yeah. That's what I do. I just walk down an alley at nighttime and say, "Okay, I take on all comers. Anybody want to go?" And I got a guy walk with me, and he starts the timer, and we go 5 minutes. See if
nice.
I can win.
I actually believe that.
Yeah,
I honestly, I now, yeah. well, good luck in this, man. Now let's talk about like I was looking at now your first fight, right? Now you've had a tough. Let's talk about some of the stuff you've been through. So you grew up in Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
So you grew up in Atlanta.
Well, I mean, I didn't grow up there. I mean, I was born there. I was there for a short time, and so I was probably about six. Between 6 and 7, and then I moved to Napa, California.
Napa, California, and you got off to a pretty rough start. You got thrown out of schools. You got arrested when you were 10 years old for robbery, right? You were thrown,
got stabbed.
You were thrown in and out of boys clubs. I mean, out of a JV hall, you know, in and out. And then you were 13, and Bob Shamrock took you and took you under his wing.
He did. He really took a just kid who had nothing but hatred and had no remorse for any other human being. I didn't have a love for life. I had no value for life. And I basically was living life day by day. I lived out of a car, and I would do strong-arm robbery. I mean, I'm talking about a kid that is between 10 years old and 13 years old. And I lived out of a car, and I was stealing and ripping off places and getting stabbed and stabbing and... at a very, very young age. And then he took me, and he was able to grab this kid and be able to see that there was a lot of anger and a lot of frustration and a lot of things going on with me, and help me develop and put that anger into something positive, which for me was sports. He was able to take that anger and teach me how to play with the rules and be able to get that frustration and anger out by doing something good. A lot of other kids had the same kind of anger, but they were more interested in drawing pictures with, you know, violent pictures, people's heads cut off by hatchets and holding on to them with blood dripping out. And most people would look at that and go, "Oh my goodness, this kid's sick." And the reality of it, the kid's just getting anger out of his body and he's trying to vent himself. Same thing when you talk about these rappers who are out there rapping and they're talking about deaths and guns and this and that. And if we'd all put it in perspective and realize that it's just a human being who is angry at the world that's venting in a way that he can't get in trouble.
Can I ask a question? Do you think it made you focus the anger into you say it focused your anger into something more positive then? Like of the anger and frustration you had, it made you like laser focus it to one thing that wouldn't get you in trouble as much.
It made me popular. It made me famous and something that would have put me in prison.
Now you're a star high school football player. You're a star wrestler, but then you broke your neck senior year.
Yeah, my senior year, I had everything rolling in the right direction. Life was looking good. I felt like I had this white picket fence with a family and a dog. I mean, everything was looking bright. And then one second, it was all just ripped away from me. I had a broken neck. My scholarships were being yanked away from me. The people that had taken me in, the group home, they were getting divorced. And my world was just crashing and crumbling all around me and just going away. And I started going back into that same shell again where it was more of like fending for myself. And I remember that my father had actually took me in and he said, "Listen, none of this is going to change with, you know, our direction and what I'm doing for you. Yeah, there's a problem between me and Mrs. Shamrock and, you know, that's our problem, and it's not yours, and that things will still move forward, and that you still have a home, and everything is still the same, other than we've got to deal with this situation." and you'll recover from this. And I remember with my neck was the least amount of my worries, because, and same as I am today, is that even with that broken neck, I believed in my mind that there was nothing that could stop me. I had a halo on my neck, and I was out playing basketball, and I even got into a fight and ripped the bolts out of my head. My mentality was that nothing could stop me, and nothing that was in my way or anything that was done to me, I feared nothing. And in a way, that was dangerous, but in a way, that's what made me who I am today, was because there was no thought of a finish line. There was no thought of things that I could not do. I could do anything that I set my mind to, and I literally believed that. It was not a myth. It wasn't just a cliche. I believed it.
Well, then you end up, I mean, it ended up, you know, you actually went to college, you played football in college, you got offered a tryout for the San Diego Chargers, but instead you went into a pro wrestler, right? You became a pro wrestler over in Japan.
I did. And I had, no, actually it was over in Mooresville, North Carolina with Nelson Royal and Gene Anderson. They had a club out there, and I ended up moving in that direction. And it was a good decision, I believe, now that I see everything that goes on and the success that I had with the me being able to control my destiny. I really enjoyed that move, and I learned a whole lot in the beginning. It was a little bit hard because I was more the aggressiveness and the anger and the intensity, but yet I could take that out of my bumps, and I could take it out in my acting. I could take it out in my emotional status, whatever I wanted to do, blow up, get angry. Whatever it is that I was doing in that, I could literally vent through that. And so I did very well with that. And in a short amount of time, I mean, I captured three different titles in the small Atlantic wrestling in that area during that probably 2 to 2.5 year stint there.
Now, when you went over to Japan and you did pancreas, now, your first fight, you went up against Don Nielsen, who was a karate champion. You took him down and submitted him to arm lock in 45 seconds. Now, where did you learn all these crazy ankle locks, arm locks? Where did you actually learn all that?
Well, I learned that over in Japan. I remember when I did a tryout, I saw it on TV. I was doing pro wrestling down in Mooresville, North Carolina. And a friend of mine, Dean Malenko, had showed me this videotape, and they were doing it at his dad's gym. Sami Saranaka was recruiting for Japan. And they showed me this fight, and I was like, wow, man, that's just unbelievable. I mean, no one ever saw anything like that, where you got punching and kicking, and then they were taking you down, and they were doing joint manipulations, and they'd stand back up and you fight some more. And I was like, dude, this is awesome. How do I do that? And so he hooked me up, sent me down there, did a tryout. I beat all the American guys that they were recruiting to go up there, because that's just who I was. I was a fighter.
Wait, but you were using pro wrestling moves? You were using pro wrestling moves in actual fights?
No, dude, this was the real deal. I mean, this was UWFI, and I had the opportunity to go in there and actually kick some butt on doing this thing, especially during the tryouts. I mean, those were legitimately real to see whether or not you had what it takes to get in the ring with these bigger guys.
Yeah.
And a month later, I was in Japan and did a tryout out there, and I fought the same two guys that I saw on a videotape. Got my butt handed to me and literally tapped out left to right. But I remembered when I was doing that, I was like, dude, this is legit. This is a real deal. And from that moment on, I was hooked.
I mean, but was it more catch wrestling you were doing, or more jiu-jitsu, or...
No, it was catch wrestling. There's no question.
Nice.
Carl Gotch actually was developing that style over there with the Japanese. And it was definitely catch wrestling.
So you learned all this. So you were in Japan. I mean, you had high school wrestling experience, and you were just picking up all these catch wrestling moves.
Yeah, I studied Muay Thai while I was there. You know, that was the my choice for stand up, because I felt like that I was in more of a development for close in combat fighting, and so I picked that up and be able to use it with my grappling. Whereas, you know, nobody else really developed that style. You know, you watched me in the UFC. I was the very first one to have both stand-up and ground technique. And I really did saw early on, and I even made a comment in a couple of my early on interviews, which they play now, which no one really understood at the time, but they do now, was I basically told in that interview that if you don't know both stand-up and ground, you will not be able to compete in this.
Yeah, and they definitely proved that. I mean, I remember your first fight with Hoyce Gracie. Now you think that when during that fight you ended up losing that fight, but it was a weird fight because he wore a gi, and you thought that your hand got caught in the gi, in his gi. Do you think the fight would have been different had that not happened?
Yeah, well, I think the fight would have been different if I would have been able to wear my shoes. A lot of times I got caught when I was, you can even see in some of the rewind when you watch it, where I'm trying to get my grip, my foot, and it's just slipping. And I couldn't really push off and get back to my knees again without exposing myself, and he was able to get top position from there. So, yeah, it made a huge difference because I had never entered a ring without wrestling shoes on, and they took them away the day before saying that it was a weapon, but yet they let him wear a gi. And then I tried to question, well, what's the difference between my shoes and his gi? They're both weapons, aren't they? And they just ignored me.
Ugh.
Wow. I know you just said you trained and you learned a lot of your stuff for catch wrestling in Japan. When did you start training with Eric Paulson?
Oh, boy, I tell you, I had actually watched Eric early on in Japan where he was in a couple different tournaments down there. And boy, what an impressive fighter he was, and I don't think he gets enough credit, man.
No, he doesn't. He's I've been training a lot with him these last like 6 to 8 months, and his outlook on the whole fighting business is really, really awesome. I was just curious, did he change your game up a little bit more? Like, did he give you more of a catch wrestling style?
Well, no. I mean, I already had that. I think me and him kind of came from the same background. We both were in Japan. We both studied almost a similar type styles. He was more of a stand-up guy at that time and developed his ground game to be tremendous where it is today. But my ground game actually came from more of the catch wrestling. I believe his comes more of catch wrestling, but he also has a real strong foundation for jiu-jitsu because he does work a lot from his back, whereas I... And catch wrestling, a lot of us like to work more from the top position.
Right.
So, he is tremendous. I did bring him in. The problem when I brought him in was that I was not where I needed to be able to benefit from his teachings. I was in really bad shape. I had a lot of issues, which I didn't know at the time. But now that I've fixed those and I'm in a better way, I have a clear understanding of why and the reason why I couldn't do the things I needed to do. So I really didn't get to benefit a whole lot from what I had in there. And he was teaching tremendous things, but I just wasn't capable to be able to keep moving forward and catch up to him.
Well, he still considers you one of the greatest fighters, so just letting you know that.
Yeah, as a fighter, I respected him and what he was able to accomplish down there. I don't think he gets enough credit for what he's done. And I believe that he's probably one of the best coaches in the world right now.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I wanted to ask you, you said that you used Muay Thai. Was it hard to transition into using Muay Thai? Because there's a lot of specific moves in that. Or did you just pick it up right away?
No, I actually picked it up right away. In fact, I fought a Muay Thai fight, probably 6 months after I started training. And I fought an ex-world champion, Frank Laudman.
Wow, it's a monster.
Wasn't the smartest move in the world, but I held my own for 3 rounds, and then he ended up breaking his hand on my head, and he started to kick me, and that was a mistake because I was fine as long as he was aiming for my head and was doing leg kicks every now and then. But when he hurt his hand, he started focusing on the legs, dropped me in the 3rd round. I couldn't get up.
Now, that first fight, back to the first fight with Hoyce Gracie, now you tapped, the ref didn't see the tap, and they were going to let it go, but then you admitted, no, I really tapped. Did you kind of, like, regret that, or looking back?
No. I don't regret that.
And that was really honest of you.
He caught me. I tapped. I regret that I tapped. But I don't regret that I said what I said because, I mean, the reality of it is that I tapped. I knew I tapped. I didn't want to tap, but I did, and they asked when I did, and I'm honest, even at times where it hurts me or hurts other people. I am an honest guy, and I'll tell you. And sometimes I should keep my mouth closed, but that's just who I am, and that's how I grew up. Your word is your bond, and then your honor, and that's what you can control.
Nice.
And so when they asked me, I told them. I told them exactly what happened.
Nice. Now, the second fight with Hoyce, this was a whole different fight. Now, it was supposed to be no time limits. They tell you the day of the fight, it's going to be 30 minutes. Now, how pissed were you when that happened?
Oh, pretty pissed. I was, because I had trained for a 3-hour fight. My whole concept going into fighting Hoist was to wear him out and get him exhausted to where he couldn't lift his legs. That's why I was working his body. I was working his head. Everything was methodically slow, controlling his hips, following his hips, not letting him move, not letting him breathe, keeping my weight on him, and just wearing him out so his legs would drop and I would be able to just beat on him and do what I wanted to him. And to prove a point that it's not about the style. The style has something to do with it, but it's the athlete that is in the style. That it's not Gracie Jiu-Jitsu that is the dominant style in the world. There's all kinds of different styles that match up to that. And I wanted to show the world that they're not the best conditioned athletes. It is the athlete that is the best conditioned athlete, not some style, not some system, and not some person. And I wanted to show that. I wanted to wear him out. And then I wanted to submit him. I wanted to choke him out with his own move. And I had set that up by having at least pushing it to a 3-hour fight. However long I needed to go to wear him out to where I could just play with him in my hand as putty. And I literally, when I went into the fight and they changed it, I could have changed my game plan 24 hours before. So I thought to myself, well, 30 minutes, that's still a good amount of time. I'll just pick up the pace on my body shots. I'll pick up the pace on my movement. And I'll try to increase the pressure on him by dropping my elbows on his hips and his stomach to make him breathe hard. And as you watch the fight unfold, you could see my plan starting to unfold. You could see him not being able to move so well and slow down. And I think if we had one more round, I would have been able to do the things that I wanted to do.
Now, I mean, a lot of people consider you the winner of the fight. Now, afterwards, were you a single guy? Were you walking around Japan? Was it just Japanese tail thrown at you?
Here we go.
What?
This is classic Adam right here.
How'd you turn it
How much pussy did you have while you were in Japan?
I mean, come on, seriously. Let him answer.
It didn't have the Karate Kid ending.
No, come on. I mean, you just, obviously, a lot of people thought you beat the greatest fighter ever. And then, are you single? Is it Japanese orgies? What's going on? Tell us the truth.
Well, trust me, man. I said, I lived a life in which probably wasn't the most healthiest for a fighter. So, yeah, there were things that I had to, as I got more mature in things and had to develop and become a man.
Oh, that was the most evasive. That was the most evasive answer. Come on. I mean, so you leave that night, right?
Yeah. And that's probably as much as you're gonna get.
No, here. This is how you have to ask him, Adam.
I played around a lot. I did things I shouldn't have done. But I've grown up since then. I see the light.
No, wait. Did you really enjoy the Japanese culture while you were over there? Is what he's trying to say.
Did you really enjoy the Japanese part? Enjoyed it so much, 4 times over again.
So how many girls in one night?
Are we
talking about three a night? Was it 4 a night?
Let's just say it was more than I should have had. I think one's sufficient. Any more than that is really just a waste.
Did you have the world's most dangerous penis? Honestly, was that no? Hello?
The world's most dangerous what?
Penis. Did you walk around Japan with the world's
he
most...
He said penis.
He said penis. You said,
yeah,
wow.
I like to think I've never really had a problem in that area, so I've never had any complaints, so I just like to think I'm doing all right.
All right.
I don't think you've ever been asked, have you ever had the world's most dangerous penis, but Adam apparently
that's
needed...
A yeah, first.
That's that the first time first. I've ever heard anybody ask that.
Yeah, well, listen, I've never had any complaints, but I sure got to hit to go with it.
Nice. That's important. That's right, Marina.
Super important.
All right. Now your fights. Now your fights with Dan Severn. Right. Now you took down Dan Severn, who was at one point was one of the best wrestlers in the world. Were you actually surprised that you were able to take him down?
No. Listen. I countered him. It wasn't like I did a takedown on him and took him down straight up. He had to make the move, and then when he made the move, I was able to counter him. I was able to get him and take him down. So, and MMA is different when you're that kind of a wrestler. There are a lot of things that are different, but if you try to just single up, stand up, and take a guy down like that, you're going to get your butt handed to you. So, there's ways you can take, and you see it over and over again with Olympic guys coming in and being on their back because grapplers understand that, listen, I'm not going to shoot and take this guy down, but but I could definitely set him up with some punches, get him to shoot, be able to counter him and get him down.
Now, your war with Don Fry, by the way, was one of the greatest fights I've ever seen. That was a crazy fight. Now, how much did that take out of you? I mean, Don Fry said he was never the same fighter after that fight.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that was a great fight. It was a great opportunity. We got to really cross over from Japan to the States. That was one of the bigger fights for both areas. And they have a guy like Don Fry and myself to be able to step in there with the heat that we had and be able to go out and put it on the line. And really, I think just really had one of the greatest fights that you could possibly have competitive-wise. Then the biggest thing to me was after the fight was over, that we were able to put aside our differences and be able to congratulate one another for our efforts.
Yeah, that was cool. Like, yeah, because there was a lot of shit going on. Now, were you able to do that with Tito? I know you and Tito Ortiz have that you guys had some bad blood like I've never seen.
But Tito had bad blood with everybody.
Yeah, I mean, so.
No, he did. He was a...
You know, how can he not when he starts to dig a grave after he beats somebody, man? You should do that before you beat him.
Yeah, yeah, I know that, and then the whole thing with him, you know, wearing the shirts, saying the t-shirts. I mean, was that? Are you and Tito cool now? Is that something you regret?
Yeah, we're good. Listen, Tito's the same thing I was. I'm thinking a lot of fighters are when you first start out. You think you own the world. All the girls are in your pocket. You got all the money you want. Everybody wants to be you. And, you know, it's hard to keep that ego under control. And, you know, he's down the road a bit now, and he understands, life's different, and he appreciates his fans. And so, you know, like I said, I think all of us who have that that opportunity to be one of the best in the world and be dominant during that time, it's really hard at times to keep your ego in check. But the smart ones realize that, you know, this is just, it's not real. So you're not the king of the world, and you're not going to stay on top forever, and the people around you are human, and they have feelings also, and you can't just keep stepping on everybody.
But what he's wearing a gay Metzger shirt, and how pissed were you?
Wow.
Yeah, I was very angry. If I could have got a hold of him right then, I probably would have hulked out on him.
Yeah.
So right now, if you saw him, you wouldn't push him in front of a train.
Yeah, I'd have been pulling his teeth.
Yeah, yeah, because he was kind of a dick.
Oh, kind of a dick.
He could sell a fight, but he was playing being a dick.
It was a little too much.
Yeah, there's
too
much. There's things you do, but like I said, I think that we all of us have different types of personalities and some lines that we cross when we're at that spot. Because really, let's look at it, man. I mean, like, we are on top of the world. There's nobody that can touch us during those times. We're like it. And, I mean, that's a hard beast to get under control when you come from nothing, really. You're not anybody, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you stand on top of the world, and everybody wants to be you. That's a hard beast to conquer.
Yeah, well, you conquered it many times. I mean, what sucks with you is that in your prime, right, even like the one fight with Dan Severn, the second fight, I mean, you're fighting in Michigan at the time. They tell you before the fight, if you punch him with a closed fist, you're going to get arrested because they were trying to ban the UFC in that. So after that fight, you took 4 years off, right? You said, you know what, fuck this. I'm taking 4 years off. And you went into pro wrestling. You got a thing. But that was your prime. Do you sometimes feel like you got robbed of your prime?
No. I feel blessed to be able to have the time that I had, no question. And I mean, I look back on it, and it's been, even now, where I'm at now, I mean, I'm still out there fighting and still having fun, and as Dana doesn't say, I am still relevant, and it's fun for me, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm later in life right now and still have the opportunity to go out there and fight in front of fans and be able to entertain them. So, you know, I don't feel robbed. I feel like I've been blessed.
Yeah, you have been blessed. Now, how old are you now?
I'm going to be 51 in February.
So you're going to be 51 years old, right? You made some money. You won the UFC. You did all this stuff. I mean, and you're still going to fight in a bare knuckle fight? Is there a part of you that's like, man, what the fuck? What am I doing? Why am I doing this?
Here we go.
No, man. The fact is, I'm saying to myself, wow, why not? I mean, like, we live one time. And if I could tell somebody, listen, what do you want to do in life? I mean, if you could do whatever you want to do, what would it be that you would do, and how long would you do it? And a lot of people will tell you, listen, man, I'd like to do this, and I'd like to do it until the day I die. I don't want to just sit on the couch and die. I want to be able to do something and be entertained and have fun. And when someone asks me, that's what I want to do. I mean, I'm not doing this because I need money. I mean, obviously people go, oh, you're doing it for the money. Yeah, I'm doing it for the money. I did it when I was young. I did it for the money. Come on. But I love what I'm doing.
You're a fighter. That's
it. I'm not going to sit on a couch because everybody else says I'm too old. I say when I'm too old. I say when I've had enough. I say when time's up. I say when I don't want to fight anymore. That's when it's up.
That's what's up, man. Hey, I got nothing but respect for you. I mean, nothing but respect for you, Ken. You have no idea. The fact that you came on the podcast is like, honestly,
yeah.
If I have sex tonight, I'm gonna be thinking about you. I mean, not in a gay way. But
wow, I don't even know how to take that.
Not in a gay way, but just the fact that
an inspiration way.
Like I'm telling you, not in a gay way. Just in like a
You're not supposed to think of men.
I'm actually. You're gonna do bare knuckle. I'm gonna hit a girl raw tonight. I'm telling you. I'm gonna have a bare.
Just like whatever you do, just make sure you do me right. Don't embarrass me.
No, absolutely not. No. I'm doing it bare tonight. Yeah. No condom.
This one's for you, Ken.
Yeah. This one's for you, Ken.
All right. Listen, I'm game with that. Make sure you videotape it and put it on Facebook.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
Oh, shit.
So Ken Shamrock, you're actually we got a couple announcements for you. By the way, you're actually going to be with Sean, right?
Yes.
Sean Jacoby. He told me to say, Ken's still on for Tuesday. Thanks so much. You're going to be signing something, right? You're going to be. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. You're going to be at a sports memorabilia show, right? With.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Okay.
Because he told me to mention it. Hold on one sec. Sean. You're gonna be. You can meet Ken Shamrock. Guys, keep. Do you have any more questions for him while I find this?
Oh, he's finding the question.
No, I'm finding out where he's gonna be, but to talk to Ken.
Okay, well, what are your daily activities nowadays?
Yeah, I can't hear you. What's that?
I said, what are your daily activities nowadays? Now that I'm pretty sure you think about fighting all day, every day, but I know you have to kind of take it easy a little bit.
Yeah.
Or is every day intense for you?
Even when I'm in bed, I roll around, I think about fighting. I use a guard position. I use a triangle choke. I use leg locks.
And you're alone in your bed while you're doing this?
Yeah, even when I'm alone, I do it with my pillow. I also do it with my wife. I mean, come on, man. It's like every single day I'm thinking about submission.
Awesome. Are you doing any more professional wrestling in Japan? Like anytime
soon? What's that?
Are you interested in doing any more professional wrestling in Japan?
Yeah, for me, I'm always looking for the next venture, but really I'm looking for more stuff that's more edgy, more, like, new. So, but if that comes along and I'm not doing anything, for sure. I'm interested in being able to compete and entertain the fans.
Did you say more edgy? Really?
Yes.
More edgy than bare-knuckle fighting?
Thinking maybe the next venture is going to be jumping out of a plane with a parachute on and see if you can choke the other guy out, see which can pull the parachute first.
Wow. Nice. Okay, then.
I would watch that.
I would definitely watch that.
I would totally watch that.
All right. So here you are.
Of course, you'd be laying out. Of course, you'd be in the water. So I don't really feel you guys. Die. Well, maybe. That's pretty hard, too.
So Ken is going to be signing March 27th at San Jose at WrestleCon.com. You're going to be there with Jeff Hardy, Rob Van Dam, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Val Venus, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Vader, Bret Hart, Lita, Demolition, and more.
You're going to be there with Lita?
Yep, March 27th in San Jose.
Oh, my God. At
WrestleCon. So you guys can see it.
Where is that?
It's in San Jose. March 27th. At WrestleCon.com. So, Ken, where can people find you?
Actually, I got my website, KenShamrock.com. I have all my Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all my stuff, all my Instagrams, all that stuff's on there, all my social media. But the good thing is because this is a great journey for me. I want my fans to follow me. I have a blog on there where I write once a week. I show pictures of my training, videos of my training. They can go to KenShamrock.com, go to the contact page. They can be able to make comments on my training or just be in a conversation with me. I do it every week because I want my fans to be able to go on this journey with me and have fun.
Well, thank you,
That's
Ken.
Awesome.
It's you are a legend amongst legends. So take care, buddy, and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you so much.
Definitely.
All right, you guys.
Awesome.
Have a blessed day.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Ken,
Ken Shamrock.
That's
you more edgy. That was the craziest shit I ever heard, man. Good for him. I mean,
I was thinking he was like gardening on his free time or something, like doing something therapeutic. He's like, nah, I'm gonna jump out of a plane
and choke people.
Let's do that.
I'm practicing moves on my wife. You know, I'm just like, oh, get
on
her,
my pillow,
get
and
her
my wife,
heel lock,
practicing moves. That's crazy. I think I'm gonna watch the bare knuckle fighting. You?
I've watched it. In fact, I pulled it up just now, and I've watched it.
I've seen. There's a documentary
there
out there
no
too.
There is no technique.
Really?
No.
It's not.
They
just go. Like, you won't see, like, some really, you know, sharp jabs. It's just basically, I'm just going to
But
try.
You can do submissions, right? Or is it just boxing?
No, it's just boxing.
It's just boxing.
Yes.
It's just boxing, but it's not even, I mean, it's like no body, not a lot of body shots.
Mm-mm.
Like, not a lot of body shots. There's hardly any blocking.
Yeah.
You know, no blocking. It's just straight, bah, bah, whoever can take the most skull crushing.
Wow.
And I've watched it a couple times, and part of me's like, okay, I watched it, and part of me's like, yeah, but I this is the old me. I need to see some technique. I need to see something.
I'm going to watch it. I mean, you know what? He makes a very good point. I mean, he's better than staying on his couch. This is what he wants to do. It's just, you know.
When you turn 51, I bet you're going to want to be doing shows all the time.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not getting punched in the face.
I know,
with
but
bare
you're,
knuckles.
But you're,
but that's what you're passionate
that's
about.
That's what your passion is. Like, your passion is comedy. His passion is fighting. He's gonna think about fighting even when he's 75.
You're right. No, you're right.
Yeah.
He said it.
Remind me of that like Rocky and Rocky Balboa at the end, where Rocky went in front of the people and was like, "Look, you can't tell me that I can't fight." And blah 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 blah.
Yeah, but he said the same thing we were talking about earlier about the fact that you can't tell somebody when to retire. You can't tell somebody if that's what they like. I knew I wasn't inherently a fighter because I stopped and was like, no problem.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it. Like, I watch other people go, I'm impressed by them, but I was like, yo, I can't, I physically couldn't take it.
That's why they're like in coaching nowadays. Like, you really, there's people who tell you what to do. And then there's people who guide you with the decisions you make in your career.
Right.
There's a real distinct difference.
Well, I wanted to ask you, what is it that like makes you like, what's that fire for you? What is it
for
that?
Me?
Yeah. Like, because there's something that...
What makes me fight? What gets me up in the morning to want to go train and shit?
Train and get knocked around for hours.
It's a personal battle. I'm doing something that I'm terrified of. I'm terrified of fighting. I face my fear every single day.
Wow.
Every single day. And getting pushed and breaking those walls, learning things about yourself. That's why people choose mediocre lives, because they don't really want to know anything about themselves, you know, like they want to live in that comfort. I'm always pushing the comfort in my life. You know, I'm doing things that I'm afraid to do. I'm doing things that I think I'm not going to be good at, but fuck it. I'm just going to try.
You love it?
Yeah.
You absolutely.
That's actually, that's cool shit.
That's the same with comedy. Stand up comedy. I'm up there and I'm like, there's nothing. I don't want to get off stage right now because my life's going to suck as soon as I get off stage.
Well, no, stand up took the place of that.
Yeah.
Because the only reason I did it was I tried it and I was actually really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, I'm good at this. But it wasn't like I did it because I was good at it, not because I was like, oh, I want to get punched in the face.
Right.
It was more like, oh, I'm pretty good. And then they kept, the coach was like, you should do this, man.
Speaking of a guy who's pretty good, we're going to call Michael Chandler right now. And,
nice little.
I wanted to know.
He just texted me saying, are we still on? That's why I was like,
yes. Shamrock, that was.
It was a good interview.
Very good.
He's
like, yeah, I'm going to jump out of a plane and choke somebody
the
out.
The world's most dangerous penis.
That was hilarious.
I asked if he had that. Hey, Michael Chandler.
What's up, dude?
What's up, man? You're with Shang and Marina on the MMA Roasted podcast. But sorry, we were talking to Ken Shamrock, and he was telling us about he's got a bare knuckle fight coming up. And he was telling us about that. How are you?
Good, man. Just driving home.
Nice.
In sunny San Diego.
Nice. Is your sunroof down? Seems like a lot of wind.
A lot of wind.
There's a lot of wind in the background. Are you in like a Flintstone car? Or?
Hey, let me fix. I fixed it for you. Is that okay?
Yes, yes. How are you?
Good.
Don't mind him. He's being a little bitch.
Yeah. No, thank you.
I know. You're being a little high maintenance right now.
Sorry about that.
A lot.
Michael came to my show with his wife, who is smoking hot. And normally I say guys have hot wives, and I'm lying. But like this dude legitimately has a fucking smoking hot wife. Good work on that, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know how you start off with good luck, man.
No, it's like good work.
Good work. Yeah, that's good work.
Yeah, his wife is smoking hot, and she seems pretty cool, too.
But you act like he's a mud duck or something. He's a good-looking guy.
Sort of.
Why? No, I'm saying I'm not, no homo. I'm just saying no homo, man. I'm just saying you're a good-looking guy. I can see you scooping, you know, top-tier tail.
Yeah, because, well, he's definitely top-tier tail.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
So what's going on? So Chandler, how's everything going? You got a fight coming up in Bellator? Talk to us.
Life is good. Yeah, I don't have anything scheduled as of now. Definitely looking to get back in the cage probably late March, early April. Just get things going, get better, get back in the cage and beat somebody up.
Now, you've been in like four wars in a row.
Yep.
I mean, the Eddie Alvarez, the Will Brooks
that one
wars.
Flat out war.
All great fights. I thought you won the second Eddie Alvarez fight. The Will Brooks fight, the first one was very close. The second one was crazy. Can we talk about that? Like when he hit you, did you know where you were? Because it looked like you had just sort of like woke up and then saw a black guy trying to beat you up, and you were like, "What the fuck's going on right now?
Why I got to be a black guy, man?"
Because the guy was black.
I know exactly. I was joking.
It was weird. I think he kind of caught me on the temple there, and you know, I don't really remember. You know, I saw when I look back on the replay or whatnot, you know, I was kind of looking, my hands were in the air, like I was looking for something, trying to grab something, or, you know, lost that spatial awareness, I guess. And then the next thing I know, the fight's over. So it was definitely different. But there's a million ways, a million crazy things that can happen in a fight. And that was one of them. So just time to get back to the drawing boards and get back in there and get a win.
Now, when that happens, is your wife saying to you, "Hey, honey, you know, maybe the fighting thing"? Like, are you kind of like watching that back? Must have been a crazy experience, no?
A little bit, but I mean, I think you get just desensitized to it. You know, I mean, I think it would have been a lot worse had I been completely knocked out. You know, stiff body. You know, grinding my teeth. That would have been a lot worse. You know, and you see those all the time. You see those every weekend in fights. And
yeah,
mine was just a little bit of almost dazed. I guess, you know, so I mean, to me, there's no concerns. Obviously, I just now started sparring again, like a week or two ago, and, you know, just trying to take precautionary measures and make sure I can prolong the career as much as possible. So, get better without taking a lot of damage is the goal right now. And obviously, once I get into training camp and you pick up sparring, you pick up all the hard work. Things get more intense, but I definitely took an adequate amount of time off, and she's not worried about it. She's behind me 100% and supports everything I do, so it's all good.
I was going to ask you, when situations that happen like that, does that just put more of a fire under your ass where you go, okay, fuck it, that was then, and now I'm going to go back in the gym and like correct some mistakes and then really come back harder?
Yeah, it does. I mean, the last couple of fights have been different, weird ups and downs and all that kind of stuff. So it's all about just keeping the faith, keeping a positive attitude and really just keep the motivation and keep that hunger to get better and constantly seeking, ways to improve my game, whether it be different techniques or whether it be cleaning up things, whether it be, just refining different aspects of my game, different directions that I want to go. I'm more motivated than I've ever been. I have not at all lost any confidence or lost any steam or anything. Still do. I want to be the best lightweight in the world. And my next fight is the next opportunity to prove that.
I mean, your fights have been amazing. I mean, you started off your career, you were what, like 12-0, 15-0? You were just you're a monster. I mean, you got a great wrestling pedigree background. I mean, you were teammates with Tyron Woodley and Ben Askren. Both good guys. Talk to us about Ben Askren, because I mean he's such a strange guy. Strange. Well, strange is a good word.
Odd. Very good way to.
He's odd.
He's obviously one of the best fighters in the world. But he tells Dana White he calls him a fat bald old guy, and that's the reason he's not in the UFC. Have you said to him, hey, listen, maybe you shouldn't call the guy that wants to hire you a fat bald guy?
No, honestly. I have the kind of confidence in Ben that everything he's ever done, he's been successful at. You know, so if he thinks, he's probably playing that bad guy role, because at the end of the day, we all know this is a business, and it doesn't matter whether certain people don't like you, even the people that are in charge, if they don't like you, if you'll still make them money or you'll still, you know, bring attention to their brand, it doesn't matter how bad their feelings get hurt, they're still going to hire you. So I think that's kind of the route he's going. I think people appreciate that he's not afraid to stand up to certain people. People appreciate he's not afraid to say funny, you know, kind of low blows like that. So it's part of his brand. It's part of his, I guess, his image and who he is. And it really is 100% who Ben Askren is. He's not, you know.
He's not putting it on?
Different. No, not at all. I mean, he's been like that the entire time that I've known him over the last decade. You know, he says what's on his mind. He's not afraid to call people out. He's not afraid to call it how it is. So you got to respect that.
Now, he says he doesn't wear deodorant. Does he smell like shit? Come on, tell us the truth.
No, he smells fine, actually. You know, he just, I don't know why he doesn't, but he smells fine.
I was telling you at
your show.
Now, exactly. Now, another thing I got to ask you is, now, Bellator, they've really, like improved their, which I think it improved, like having, like, the fire, people singing, and rappers come out with everybody, and that, like, that ramp. What's your thing going to be?
My thing?
Like, as far as, like when you come out to the cage, have you thought about, like, having a rapper or, like a little person or something? Or, like,
some jugglers or some shit?
I don't think so. I haven't really thought much about it. But I definitely, you know, when I was the co-main event on the card, and I saw, you know, people were walking out with dancers, and King Mo had, like, four girls or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, nobody talk to me about anything about the walkout. They better not be having some weird thing. You know, I better not be having no girls walk out with me or no, like you said, you know, a rapper or anything like that, because I, you know, that's just not my style, I guess. So I haven't really thought about it, but no, I think mine's going to be pretty normal. There's going to be some music. I'm going to walk out. I'm going to walk through the cage like I always do and go get into a fist fight.
I mean, that's the thing. Like I told you before, like, you're a hard guy to roast because you're a very, very nice guy. You know, you seem like a pretty straight shooter. But you think that kind of hurts you in MMA a little bit, that, like, you're not like this Conor McGregor type guy, or you're not a chill, or you're not a this, or even the King Mo, or people like, oh, that's the guy. You think that sort of, in some ways, it becomes the entertainment factor's missing?
Yeah, I do. You know, and I'm not afraid to say that, and I'm not afraid to just stick to who I am too. You know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's about what you feel is right, what you feel comfortable with, who you are, and what your true, you know, what your true brand is, not the brand that you want to portray. And, you know, I definitely, you know, not afraid to speak my mind. I'm definitely not afraid to have an opinion, because that shows maturity, and it shows that you're confident in yourself and who you are. But, you know, I don't like to be that guy, really.
You don't like to talk smack, or you don't think that talking shit about other people makes your marketing go up? Because that's what it seems like it's going. It does. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. No, and that's why I'm saying I'm not afraid to admit that does, but that, you know,
that's not you.
Point, just kind of not me. Yeah, you know.
What about having, like, your wife in, like, a bondage outfit or something, and then, like, she leads you to the cage, but, like, with, like, a
yeah, because that's a great idea.
No, because you do seem
that's a wonderful idea. That I think that'll really draw the fans.
Yeah, that's
and
that's
be,
what
and
they
be, and wouldn't cause any tension in our house.
No, because you seem a little kind of whipped. I mean, your wife's pretty hot, but it seems like she's the kind of girl that controls. So maybe she's, like, leading you to the cage, like you have, like, a ball and chain or something, and she's leading you, and, like, you can't talk or no.
He's like, no, that won't work for him.
He's good.
If
right
at any time you feel like you want to hang up, I will totally understand.
No, come on.
Somebody reach over and smack him.
Oh, my God.
No, we got to think of a gimmick for you, man.
But what if the gimmick should be the fighting, not the gimmick. I agree, but the fight.
But it's funny because
not every fighter wants or needs a gimmick.
You're absolutely right.
I think they're fighting, he's a badass,
he doesn't need a gimmick.
But that's why it'd be funny for him, because he's such a nice guy. We got to think of something. Maybe like a clown outfit. Want to have a juggling.
Are you going to dress up as the clown for him?
Yes.
Yeah, you could be my clown. a big rainbow colored fro and
some
big shoes and a red nose.
Honk, honk, honk.
I'm in. Me and you, Shang. Three of us. Me and Shang will be clowns.
I'm good. All right.
But fighters like that, if they don't back it up, it makes them look worse to me. Like, I've seen, like, McGregor, right now he's backing up some of the shit he's doing. Yeah. But most of them, like, Chael did a lot of that talking shit, and he got his ass whooped.
Yeah,
but so, he's the American gangster.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if you can't back up all that shit you're talking, it makes you look goofy to me. to me, I'm saying.
Right.
No, I agree. And I think that's the general consensus, too, with the general public. If it's, you know, it's cool while it lasts.
Like Angela Magana was like.
You get exposed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get exposed. And in this, you can get exposed by anybody. Like,
yeah.
You know, somebody can knock you out. And so, you know, talking all that shit might make you look worse, especially afterwards. Mm-hmm.
So who do you want to fight next?
Whoever. You know, I mean, I don't really have anybody in my mind. You know, obviously, I want it to be somebody who's, you know, who's up there and who, you know, will come in and fight and, you know, put on a good show. And give me a good test, but you know, I don't have anybody in my mind. You know, I'm just focused on myself right now, getting better in a lot of areas, and I want to go out there and get a nice finish for the next fight.
Nice. Now, I by the way, I love your team of you and Cruz and Jeremy Stevens. Wow. And Gustafson and Luke Barnott's down there, Wilson Hayes. I mean, you guys got a good alliance. You guys are doing really good. I mean, you have a good, solid group of people. Who are your favorite guys to train with? Who's the real dick that you hate, wish wasn't in camp? Talk to us.
I don't really have anybody that I hate. You know?
I know, I'm just kidding.
All the guys are on my way. Like Miles, Jerry is a good, great training partner for me. Jeremy's a great training partner. You know, Dominic has been, you know, for my last camp, he was healthy. So he, you know, we did a little work together and that kind of stuff. And he's a genius when it comes to fighting. You know, there's just a lot of guys around my weight, and then there's a lot of bigger guys that I don't necessarily go with physically, but you know, mentally and kind of just the talks and all the ideas and all the just kind of bouncing stuff off of each other. It's a good team, great coaches, obviously with Neil Melance on the ground and Eric and Adrian on the feet, and the striking and stuff. We got a good thing going, so it's cool.
Any crazy gym stories about a guy who walked in and tried to test you, and then you just fucking knocked him the fuck out?
No.
He's like, no, that hasn't happened.
No, that'd be cool if it did, though.
I feel like
Has that ever happened to you outside of the gym, where guys are like automatically, because they know you're a fighter, talking shit and feel like they want to test you? And you know you can't do anything, but have you been like, you know what, man, I'm going to rip your head off of it.
No, not really. I actually just got asked that the other day too. No, for some reason, I don't know. I think I kind of have that demeanor where, I don't know.
People don't fuck with you.
Talks to me. Yeah.
Who's the best guy you've ever trained with?
Who?
Who's like the toughest, best guy that you've ever sparred with? Was it Hector Lombard, or who thinks the best guy you've ever sparred with?
Yeah, I mean, he was one of them. You know, I mean, out here, there's a ton of great guys. You know, I mean, there's just a ton of them. So, I mean, all the guys at Alliance, Miles, and Ross Pearson, and Jeremy Stevens, those guys.
Yeah.
I never really sparred with Tyron or Ben. I was always, you know, younger or whatnot. Just getting into the sport whenever I was training with them. Eve Edwards. In the very beginning of my fight career, I trained with him a little bit, so that was cool.
Wow.
So is there, like, any art that, like, you are learning that's new to you? Like, I'm sure you train, like, Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu, all this shit. Like, do you ever kind of take a step out and just learn, like, a different martial art?
No, not really. I mean, it's just the core one, you know, the boxing.
Yeah,
the,
you just
the,
stick to, like, what you're...
grappling.
Okay.
But I will say I have been working on more Greco wrestling in the last month or so. You know, I was a college wrestler, so a lot of my wrestling matches were one on the feet, taking guys down, shooting at the legs. You know, low level singles, but sweep singles and high crotches and double legs and those kinds of things. And that's always been my kind of bread and butter with the wrestling. But I've really kind of started doing a lot more Greco stuff, upper body stuff, out off balance and stuff, you know, leg sweeps or inside trips and underhooks and just all that kind of stuff.
Have you ever done like any like sambo styles training, like because of your wrestling?
No. No, that's like the Russian wrestling, right? The gi.
Yeah, with the gi, but like they incorporate a lot of like judo and wrestling. Like it's a mix with submissions and shit.
But No, but I know judo is definitely cool. I would like to start getting into that too once I kind of get more comfortable with the Greco stuff, because to me the Greco stuff is going to be really beneficial for me right now, and then, you know, just constantly evolving though, like you said, you know.
That's cool.
Now, Mike, I was going to ask you something about, so this week, your old teammate, Tyron Woodley, is fighting your new teammate, Kelvin Gastelum. Who do you like in this fight?
Yeah. Shoot, man, they're both tough. I mean, obviously, Tyron's been around for longer. He's got some great wins over some great opponents. He's got knockout power in both of his hands. But Kelvin is a young, hungry up-and-comer, and he's got a he's a gamer, you know. I mean, yeah, I've seen him train, but the level that he trains at is, you know, nothing compared to where he actually competes at. You know, when he steps into the cage, he's a great competitor. So it's a tough fight to call. They're both very tough. I'm definitely interested to see the fight because it's going to be entertaining.
Experience. I think his experience is going.
Tyron?
I think his experience is going with Tyron. It's going to be a wrap, man.
You think Tyron's going to? No, I don't know, man.
Kelvin, his experience. He doesn't have the same experience.
So?
I don't know. I just think that's going to be what's going to be the factor.
All right. What about Anderson Silva versus Nick Diaz?
Shoot, I don't even know. Yeah, I haven't even really thought about it. It's one of those fights where it's so
surreal, right?
It's surreal. It's a big fight. They're both coming off of long layoffs.
It's like a video game fight. You really don't know who's going to win until you play against each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll see, you know.
Well,
it'll be entertaining, though.
So when are you coming? Listen, by the way, thanks for coming to the comedy show that night. I was trying to make you and your wife laugh the most. I really was. I was looking over to see if they were laughing.
So really not you, just your wife.
It was good, though. Yeah, it was funny.
And then I'm going to see you in San Diego. I'm going to see you this weekend, right? You're presenting an award at the MMA Awards?
Yeah. I come in on Thursday, and we're going to go to I'm going to get some workouts in. We're going to go to a Cirque du Soleil show or something Thursday.
Does your wife have any
vacation?
Does she have any hot single friends?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Or you don't want to look at them because...
hold on, let me think now.
No, they're all ugly. They're all ugly. Every one of them.
They're all trolls. Well, listen, Michael, where can people find you, Michael Chandler?
I have a website, ironmichael.com, Twitter, at Mike Chandler MMA. I have a Facebook fan page, and I'm at Mike Chandler MMA on Instagram. So I like to talk to fans as much as possible. Like to interact, like to see what the fans want to see, and like to see, answer all their questions and stuff. So everybody follow me and hit me up.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, man. Anytime.
Michael.
And then when are you coming to L.A. to teach my kids wrestling?
Whenever. How about right after this fight?
All right, cool. Well, thanks a lot, buddy. Take care, buddy.
Have a good one.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Thank you.
You were just trying to get him to say anything. Hey, dude, have you ever stabbed and raped a person like that? Like, you just wanted anything. I'm surprised you didn't circle back around it. Did you get a lot of tail before you were married?
He's one of those fighters who just he doesn't say much like in interviews. You know, it's very basic, and like unless you really try to get out of the box, but his performances are like.
Oh, the thing is that
he's a crazy
and the thing
fighter.
Is like you think he doesn't. He's like, hey man, when can I come back on the podcast? Like he actually likes coming on the podcast.
Yeah.
And then he talks, but he doesn't like go nuts. You think like I'm gonna, but I think he's like
he's
like
not that
said,
type of dude.
Well, also I think he's also working on other parts of social media because he's like, hey, you know, listen, I need to get my profile up. And mm-hmm. But he's a super cool guy, a role model, a great fighter. And Michael Chandler fights, I'll watch any one of his fights. He should be in the UFC. Yeah. And I'm a fan, and he's cool as
but
shit.
But Bellator is not. I'm going to keep it real. I just watched all of the fights literally last night. And Bellator is actually pretty entertaining.
It is entertaining.
Their last card was great. I was there.
And it was. And you know what? Showtime, they're doing some numbers with Showtime.
No, I mean Spike.
I did the on demand. I watched all of them.
Yeah, no,
they were actually really good fights.
Their matchmaking is
And King Mo is hilarious with to me.
But it's not only that; the best fighters are in the UFC, the very best. But however, some of these Bellator guys or World Series of Fighting guys, it's so close. At that level of fighting, it's so fucked. Look at Anthony Johnson. He was in the World Series of Fighting 6 months ago.
And now he's
fighting for the title. I mean, literally 6 months ago, he was in the World Series of Fighting. There are guys out there. That kid Georgie that's coming in, that kid who tapped out Bubba Jenkins, he could be competitive with a lot of these guys in the UFC, probably a lot of the top 10 guys.
Yep.
Like Ben Askren, who's in 1FC, personally, I think is a top 10 welterweight. I think he might even be top 5.
But you know what changed now? Because I do like McGregor. I think the way he talks is – I do. Yeah. He's entertaining as shit. I don't understand how he got 4 fights and now he's fighting for the title. I think –
we had
the same way Ronda got her title fight, and when she was in Strikeforce.
No, different. The way
it's different.
But she did a lot of talking for that.
She did a lot of talking, but
there was no women's division. They created a whole division for Ronda Rousey in the UFC.
No, I know. I'm talking about the come up. I'm not talking about individual organizations. I'm talking about the mentality of really talking up the fight and believing in what you're saying.
He really believes
in what the fuck he's saying.
Yeah, but the men's division is a lot deeper.
It's
than the women's division.
It is, but I'm just saying he should have some more fights.
Look, the thing is that it's a business, right? It's a business, and that's the reason why he's at is because he's gonna sell. People are talking about him. I mean, I think they said he would sell out some kind of ridiculous number in Ireland.
Boston broke numbers.
He's breaking records. He's also a guy who's – there's not many fighters from Ireland. There's a lot of fighters from Ireland, not many in the UFC. I mean, this is what, like 5 to 7, I think. And he's just he's a big fish in a small pond. Now he's becoming a big fish in a big pond. However, I think you're right. He should have had to fought Chad Mendez. Frankie Edgar.
Frankie Edgar, at least.
Or Cub Swanson.
And Frankie Edgar would give him problems.
To get that title shot. Any one of those three guys, because what do they have in common? Wrestling.
And Frankie Edgar's an Energizer Bunny, you know, and just hard knock.
But he might lose. And let's say he loses to Frankie Edgar, right?
Then he has to work his way up.
At the end of the day, the UFC, Dana White just does what's best for business.
That's the thing. When you combine business and entertainment, when you combine sports and entertainment, you're going to always have that issue. Because if it was just strictly a sport, and they didn't care about selling tickets or numbers or ratings, right.
They would do it the way you were talking about.
Yeah. I agree with you, but I'm saying in his situation, there's a couple people that he should have fought before fighting for the fucking
belt. Chael. Chael loses to Anderson Silva and then gets a title fight.
Exactly the same John thing.
Jones. Bullshit. But it's still bullshit, though. You know, it is still bullshit.
Used the power of the mouth, man. And I'm not talking about the blowjobs. He didn't give –
I don't know about that.
Powerful is your mouth?
Oh, my God. My mom is here.
Oh, sorry.
Did you just ask her a blowjob thing?
This Christmas.
And her mom is like, after this, I'm going to fight you at
her. Her mom's laughing. Her mom's
laughing because she's an ass beating she's going to give you later.
They don't mess around in Moldova.
What I'm trying to say is this is a sport of entertainment. People forget that. Rankings sometimes don't matter at all, and they're not going to because it's about how much money
you're right. So back to the power of the mouth.
No. It should still be a little closer.
God damn it. I wish this was a real kettlebell.
No. It should still be a little closer. It shouldn't just be.
Chang, you're preaching to the choir here.
But we talked about Aldo's about to expose his ass.
Well,
That's why when he came up to him,
he was just like laughing. I was like, fuck.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Aldo, those kicks, he's going to fucking tear his legs off.
He's definitely going to feel at least one.
It's going to be a great fight. I don't know who wins. Honestly,
absolutely Aldo.
How is it absolutely?
You know what? I've been right on the last 3 fights for once in my fucking life. So.
Okay, first of all, you didn't tell me who you think were going to win. I was right on 3 fights and I thought
that Anthony Rumble was going to win.
All right.
And a lot of people didn't think he was going to win.
Hold on a second.
He was going to lose focus. Shang.
I love you.
Bullshit, man.
I love you, Shang, but we have to reel it in a little bit. All right. So.
Bullshit.
The Moldova mouth. This is way more interesting. So far we've learned that you never gag.
Ever.
Ever, right? That was the first time you ever gagged.
Except for on a mouthpiece.
Okay, you're looking at me. All right, next topic. Mom, I'm sorry.
She's covering her ears like, I can't believe this is happening.
All right, we still have some stuff to get to. We have to talk to Yancey.
And then we have to go over
UFC 183. And then we also have to talk about DraftKings, our sponsor.
Yep.
We have to pick our DraftKings. Who's going to win this week? When you sign up for DraftKings, go to DraftKings, promo code MMAR. MMAR. Go to DraftKings. We have to do our thing for that. So we got to talk to
MMAR.
Yeah, that's the old MMAR. Oh. So we got to talk about that on the promo code MMAR. We got to talk to right now. Let's talk to Yancey. He's on a 2-fight winning streak. Last time he came on the fight, he had lost. He had been choked out by Jim Miller on a fight he took on like 3 hours notice.
Yep.
And
but now he's doing very well.
He's fighting Tony Ferguson.
I know that's going to be
at UFC 184. Yep. So we got to talk to Yancey. I like this guy.
Stupid fucking mugs. Sorry.
let's call Yancey. Josh, thank you for helping us, by the way.
No problem.
You enjoying the show?
Yeah. Did you tell him about the text messaging we were doing back and forth after your last fling thing? Is she like...
No, we're done.
You're done?
Wow. But I got a new girl that I've been dating.
Really?
So is the new girl Trump the other girl?
This new girl, she's sweet. She's from... which is very, very new. She's from Alabama.
Wow.
And she's...
So
she's an actress. How many teeth does she have?
She has a full grill.
She has full teeth?
Yeah. Lucky.
Lucky, because a lot of Alabama chicks.
Only 4 gold teeth.
Okay.
A lot of Alabama chicks just eat applesauce all the time.
They can't eat nothing else but applesauce.
No, they're applesauce.
is this a fucking comedy duo? What the fuck are you doing?
Sorry.
Are you guys going on tour together? Fucking Shang and Marina?
No, it's
so you like this new chick?
I do.
I've been with the same woman for a while, so I'm...
Really?
Which one
is this?
Wow, Lazier.
Whoa.
Oh. Hey. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Nah. I have one vagina. I'm good. I'm committed to one vagina.
Nice.
Wait, are we going back on? Okay.
I actually like the vagina I have at the house.
That's great.
Wow. No, but you've been married before, though.
Yeah, that's thank ass.
No. Why are we talking about the old? Why aren't we talking?
Yeah, I'm talking about the recent.
We're talking about the new.
I like your
new
mom. Your mom's
crazy
laughing
great
at everything. She's so cute. Your mom.
I love my mom.
She laughed everything except for the blowjob part.
No, she just covered her ears.
You covered your ears, but she's like, really? You're asking
she
my daughter?
She still has a really great humor.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice
message. Not there, man.
Come on, Moo Moo.
He's not there. 5-5.
Let me ask you this.
Yo.
Okay, since we're on here. Now, we haven't talked about the Silva fight yet.
Yes. UFC 180.
We're supposed to go over it because I've gotten a lot of shit on the Twitter because I was tweeting about it. Yo, let me tell you something. Okay, everybody said you don't know which fight. You said it's like a video game fight.
Yeah.
I think that Nick is going to walk through this dude, man.
Walk through Anderson Silva.
You know why? Because his leg, I'm telling you, that was the worst shit ever. And I just think he's going to be tentative. You think he's not? You don't think he's going to be tentative? With that was horrible.
It's a tough fight. I mean, look.
You don't think he's going to be tentative? You think Silva's still going to be able to? Because, I mean, before,
look,
his movement was part of it. I'm a huge
never
Silva
thought
fan
in my life that this fight was going to happen. I'm a huge Nick Diaz fan.
I like
I've
Diaz.
Loved him from the beginning. I never thought that like this fight was going to happen, and I'm a huge Anderson Silva fan. My colors when I fight, I always try for it to be black and yellow because of Anderson Silva. Like he's my inspiration. I love how he carries himself. He's a fucking badass. He's inspired so many
7
fighters.
Years. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's
7
a fucking
years.
Long time. And but I'm also a fan of everything that Nick Diaz has done. And I don't even want to predict. I really don't even want to predict
Why not? Because
I am such a fan of both. And I don't know. I just can't do it. I just can't wait to watch.
I think Silva, even one, the age difference. Okay, like you said, you wear down. I don't care who you are. And I think that last 2 fights showed that he can wear down. And all those little tricks he does is not going to work.
A couple things. First of all, they both haven't won in a while. They're both hungry for wins, I would assume. The only thing is, to me, is they're both wrestling. Seems to be they're both Achilles heels wrestling. And neither of them really wrestle. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a great stand-up striking match. However,
yeah, we're all going to be
Anderson
clinic,
Silva.
For sure. Yeah.
Anderson Silva walks around at 230 pounds, 220, 230.
Right.
Nick Diaz is what walks around at 190.
That's pushing it.
You know, that's so he's a natural 170 pounder. The other guy fought at 205. So is it going to be a matter of just a good big guy beating up a great big guy beating up a great smaller guy? And that, unfortunately, is kind of what I see going down. I would much rather have Nick Diaz win. I like Nick Diaz. I mean, I think he's the man. But it just is Anderson Silva too much, and is he too big?
Okay, Silva, you said he had a win in a while. He's lost twice.
Yeah.
And he lost twice to the same guy.
No, what he's really talking about is ring rust.
Yeah, I mean,
It's not really winning or losing. It's being out of that competition mode right. is what really taxes you in the end, and not being in there and just getting those butterflies and just going through the motions of a fight. It's not winning or losing. I don't believe that like the loss is what, you know, what really counts. I think it's the time out.
It's been a long time.
The thing is that.
But you know what? I can guarantee you this. Both of them are going to be welcomed into that fucking cage like no other. So,
I think the crowd's
going to go bananas. So for DraftKings.com, who are we picking? And by the way, play DraftKings because you can win $25,000 prize pool. There's no entry fee.
Nope.
$25,000 for first place, right? There's 300 positions. Play DraftKings.
$2,000.
Or $2,000 first place. No, is that two? Or yeah,
no,
$2,000.
There's three.
$2,000 first place. Top 3,000 people, guaranteed money. Play DraftKings. Just go to DraftKings.com, promo code MMAR. They're sponsoring us, so we got to do this.
Yeah. So, just use your imagination, people.
So for DraftKings, who are we picking?
I know who I'm picking.
N.A. I can't do it with this.
Why?
Do I have N.A. to do it with this one?
No, you have to.
I can't do it.
That's bullshit.
Why?
You can't
no.
pack
well,
out
here,
of this.
Here's why. Because she's trained over at Black House, right?
Before. Not with Anderson.
Oh,
but
you're also
playing
with the Diaz brothers. You're cool with the Diaz brothers.
I've never thought this fight was going to happen. I'm conflicted.
But you
got
to. So if you have to pick one, you have to.
I don't want
to
pick one.
Okay. If you're an analyst, do you think Daniel Cormier?
Who
these
said
guys,
I was an analyst? I'm just on a podcast.
I know, but one day we're trying to get you a job as an analyst. No?
Okay, I'll tell you.
No,
yes.
I think Nick Diaz is going to win. I think he's going to win. I think his boxing. Has always been sharp, even over his ring.
Okay,
rust.
How is he going to win?
I think he's going to knock him out.
He's going to knock him out.
I'm telling you, he's been. You see, that's my dude. Don't get me wrong. I'm a huge Spider fan.
All right, who do I
want? But I think
win?
It's his time. The rust. I think that he's going to be tentative with that kick because that was one of his bread and butter. And I'm going to tell you right now, all those little slick moves are not going to work on Nick. Just not going
to
work.
I got to keep it real. I want Nick Diaz to win more than anything. I had to bet on Silva.
Silva's okay, comfortable, so, rich as
but,
hell.
But I want
proof, don't need
Diaz
to prove
to
anything.
Win. And I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. I just don't see. It just seems like these guys. Josh, who do you like?
Well, what I guess there's a difference between what I want and what I like.
Yeah,
you got to go with what you
what I want.
Of the heart there.
I want Nick Diaz to win and then have a reason to fight Robbie Lawler again and then win that.
Right,
he's thinking three steps ahead. This guy.
Yeah. Well, that's the story that's building in my mind. Anderson Silva's going to win that fight.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
You heard it from Josh, okay?
Josh.
Everybody,
Josh
what's
also
everyone,
does meth.
If like, you don't like Josh, tweet him. No, kidding. All right, now,
Josh,
all right, Kelvin Gastelum, Tyron Woodley. This is a hard one to pick.
Woodley.
Kelvin.
What?
Kelvin, I'm sorry. This kid is young,
it doesn't.
Hungry, and he brings it when he gets in there every single time.
Okay.
And I've trained with him before, so.
We can do it next week if you...
No, I'm telling you right now. Okay, you say he's young and hungry. I get that. And he has shown that he can do damage. But I'm telling you, we talk about a whole different level. I think it's a whole different level. And
the
I don't
only
think
thing
he's
I
not
know,
ready for that level
here's
yet.
Here's the thing that Kelvin just doesn't... You know how you see like a mental battle with fighters? The being hesitant and shit, like in the cage... I've seen that more with Tyrone than I've seen that with Kelvin.
I think it's
Kelvin.
A draw. It's
Kelvin
a draw.
Kelvin doesn't think he just fucking goes. He doesn't hesitate.
Right.
He takes
but
opportunity
sometimes
when it's
that's
there.
A mistake
well, look,
to just go.
Sometimes it's a mistake, but
right.
I think Tyrone is a little
something.
Bit too hesitant.
Tyron.
For
Tyron.
Let's just call him Woodley.
Woodley.
Woodley. Yeah.
Tyrone, whatever the fuck.
Look, I mean, look.
He's gonna,
I'm a call on Tyrone.
No, I'm gonna look. There's a couple things here. Number one, I think that. Like, obviously, Jake's my boy. I think Jake had a mental lapse in that fight. Something just had. He was winning that fight, and then he got taken down, and something just fucking broke. I don't necessarily think you can use that fight as how good he looked, or Jake just fucking when something went happen because he just stopped fighting. That doesn't really happen. When he get taken down, I never saw a guy just give up his neck that quickly.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was hurt either. It was just weird. Kelvin Gastelum is a monster. I mean, he's a guy who beat Rick Story. Rick Story is no fucking joke. Tyron Woodley, however, was, you know, I'm taking the Khan win as a win.
Yeah,
okay.
Man. I was very impressed with that fight.
That was
in the
win.
Beginning. That was,
you know, he killed Don Kim. Don Kim is a tough guy.
Very tough guy.
He looked terrible against Rory McDonald, but Rory is one of those weird fighters
because he has a weird rhythm.
Really good fighters look bad. This is a tough fight to pick. I would almost say it's going to be a draw.
No, Woodley.
And I'm saying that because I'm friends with both guys.
I'm not okay. I like them both. I understand what you mean by being torn. I like them both, and I like when young guys come up, but I just think this is not his time. It's just not his time. He's not ready.
All right. Al Iaquinta is fighting Joe Lozon.
Lozon.
I want Lozon.
You like Joe Lozon in that fight?
Yeah.
Versus Al? I'm picking Al.
I'm picking Joe.
Al Iaquinta. Ah!
I'm picking Joe.
Joe?
Sorry, I'm picking Joe.
Lozon,
I just
man.
Think that Joe Lozon has been to too many wars. I just think eventually you just can't be in that many wars.
That's not true. No.
Eventually it catches
it
up
might,
to you.
It'll catch up to you,
he
but
looked
not
great
in this situation.
He looked great
no.
in the last fight against Chiesa.
He did.
He looked great in that fight. But then he gets dominated by Michael Johnson in Boston. He's one of these guys that, like, you know, the Anthony Pettis fight was just – that was brutal. He's one of these guys that beats guys he's – necessarily he's supposed to beat, but loses guys not to. Maybe he's supposed to beat Al Iaquinta, so he might win this fight. But I just think that Al is I don't know, man. Al, if Al doesn't get caught, he sometimes gets caught. Like he got caught against Mitch Clark
and
that strange
because
submission. But if
he rushes
doesn't,
in,
yeah,
he doesn't keep his distance, he doesn't circle enough, and that's why.
I think that Matt Serra training camp is one of the best camps in the
country. Right, yeah. No,
the Longo Serra.
All my old teammates in New York go down there to train. Every time, it's like they've never experienced anything like it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Lozon has both to me and Al. You know what I'm saying? He has both.
Yeah, he's a brilliant fighter.
He's smart. The tough fights he's had has just been, you know, like you said, sometimes you have a mental break. But I'm telling you right now, out of the two of them. No, you said it. He had a mental break.
But I like how you say this stuff as if you're certain. You're like, absolutely.
No, I just, because that's the way
right
I
now.
Go into it.
But
I'm telling
your
you,
opinions.
All you people out there, this is my, yeah, that's how I feel about it. What am I supposed to be like? Well, no, fuck that. I'm telling you right now, the reason I say that is you can look at certain people and go by, okay, what they did in the past. And some other people you go, well, you can't really do that with. The only reason I'm saying that, like you didn't want to pick between Diaz and Silva,
yeah,
right?
Because I have the option of not picking.
Right. Said, there you go. She
all
said,
right, so DraftKings, I'm picking for this one. And this is going to be, and this is, I think, one of the underdog fights. I think Alquiza is going to be the underdog. So you can win some money on this fight if I'm right. By the way, Yancy Medeiros texted me. He got the wrong times. I think he's in Hawaii. And he'll be on next week. Yancy Medeiros will be on next week along with Marina's training partner coming in, right?
Georgie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's coming in next week.
So we got Georgie and Yancy coming in next week.
Georgie Karakanyan.
Who don't say hide your wife, hide your kids.
Don't
he,
do it.
He will choke you out the
yeah,
fuck
he
out.
Will. Yeah. he will give you a nap.
So Misha Tate, Sarah McMahon. This is going to be my favorite fight of the night. I don't know why. I love Misha Tate. I know someone here is not a fan of her, but
me. I am not a fan of her.
Yeah, just
yeah,
say
you're
it.
Not a fan of her. But
I'm a fan.
I like Caraway a lot. I hung out with that guy. He's a great dude.
Sure.
So, what is that?
No, I don't. I'm not a fan of hers, but I mean, I respect her.
But she does have an She does have an it factor. She has when she comes out to Pink. So I'm still a rock. When she comes out to that song,
Katy Perry,
right?
A rock star.
No, not that one.
Roar.
You hear me roar. There's something about her that.
Okay, but what's that have to do with her?
There's something about her her fighting, the whole Misha Tate thing. I just think I'm a fan of. I don't know. She just gets me excited to watch fights. Not because she's a hot chick. That is the selling point by far.
She is a good grappler. She's very remarkable as a fighter.
Her stand-up is suspect.
It's super suspect.
It's suspect, man.
It's to me.
Okay, so you want to give me that look?
No, I'm looking at you. It's suspect.
It's suspect. Yeah. What I'm saying is, if it wasn't, like, if she gets into a stand-up situation, it's a wrap.
She takes too many shots.
She keeps going forward.
Nose jobs can you have? I'm just saying.
No, yes.
It's just like, how many battles can you be in? Like, how many fucking nose jobs?
How many nose jobs do you think she's had?
At least two.
You, that was sweet of you. About
how many
four.
Titty jobs you can have? How four. Many titty jobs has she had?
I would assume one, right?
Three.
Well, one for each titty. As a titty quota. I would say so. She has. Yeah, she's. I mean, she denies having her boobs. She won't talk about having her boobs job. But you think
those
she's
are not?
Out, she's flat out lying.
That's a fucking lie.
Have you seen her boobs?
You know what Brian Caraway did with that bonus he got? He got himself some braces and he got his girlfriend some new titties, so she wouldn't go nowhere. Let's just put it out there.
Let's just put it this way.
Have you ever seen her with her top off?
What?
Have you ever seen her?
I've seen her in a bikini top.
And you were like, those are fake?
They're not. They don't move naturally, that's for sure.
Did you feel them?
I did not feel them.
Did you ask to feel them or not?
I don't. Why would I want to feel her naked titties?
Yeah.
I've felt naked titties before.
Whoa. Talk about this.
What?
Wait.
Let's circle back around to that. Okay, that got me interested.
Stop the podcast. Yeah, seriously. Okay, so when... When have you felt these naked titties?
No, I've been to strip clubs. I know how.
And you feel a titty? When strip club, you're allowed to feel titties at strip clubs? Normally you can't touch.
No, unless they take your hand and put it there. Then what the fuck are you supposed to do? No!
So how dare you?
So
that's the only time at the strip club you felt naked titties?
Well, fake titties.
Okay.
Yeah.
And naked fake titties feel like a knee.
Yeah.
They feel like a knee.
Yeah.
No, I've heard about them. I felt a couple in my life.
You acted like they're a Loch Ness or something. I've heard of them.
I don't mind fake titties, okay. Honestly. Wait,
go back to the fight.
All okay, right, so
you don't you like her whole image?
Misha Tate. Yeah. No, I just think she's fun to watch.
She's fun to watch, but I mean, fuck that. In the fight,
Sarah McMahon versus?
I'm gonna tell you who I got.
In this fight, I think Sarah McMahon wins.
Absolutely.
I think Sarah McMahon is such a
hot and cold fighter, but I think she's gonna be up for this one because when she goes in beast mode. She called out Misha Tate. Sarah McMahon went on Twitter and said, I want Misha Tate next.
Yeah.
She didn't call out Lauren Murphy.
No.
I don't think she even called out Ronda Rousey. That was just kind of given to her.
Yeah.
She saw something in Misha where she said, I want her next.
And she knows she can exploit her stand-up.
And she knows. I honestly, Sarah McMahon, I think, by the way, she wants to come on the podcast next week as well.
Sarah McMahon?
Yeah. She loves wrestling. I'm not sure if she loves fighting. She probably loves fighting too. She doesn't like all the shit that comes along with it. She even said that. She hates doing. She's a mother.
She did barely any media for the Ronda fight.
Hates doing media. She's this hippie chick that wants to live with her wrestling boyfriend, and she's super cool. But she's just a cool hippie grungy
so
girl.
So for her to call her out is out of her character. She knows something's up.
And she's a much better wrestler.
Yeah,
I think she's got. She hits harder. She's her grappling. She trains with. I think she trains with what's his name, the very famous the guy that
Steven Seagal.
No, the guy one
that
of the most
that corny.
Yeah, let's hope she trains with
him. Yeah, that
Marcelo
would be good.
Garcia. I think she trains with Marcelo over there. She's got great grappling, and I just think she's better all around than Misha Tate. I think Misha Tate is the exact opposite. She loves being a star. Like, she wants to be in FHM magazine.
She is a star.
She wants to go on
this. She is a star because...
She's a star in MMA community.
No.
But she wants to run the Rousey movie roles. She wants to be in the Entourage.
Oh, isn't that so sad?
No, it might...
Isn't that just so sad
She wants to be it, but she's pretty... I mean, she's a pretty big name.
She's a big name. She's a big name, but she wants that next level fame. Just what she wants.
She wants it so bad.
So bad. I think she wants that almost more than she wants to be a fighter. And I can't blame her. Who the fuck wants to go to the gym every day for 7 hours and train? You guys work your asses off. Who wants to cut weight? A lot of people don't want that. People that do want it are fucking really crazy.
Yeah, but if that's what you know, if that's what you are, and that's the thing that makes you like moves you.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I loved even when I quit wrestling. My college coach.
Because you were
said,
yeah. You
he
had,
said there's
you
nobody. Had, that loved wrestling as much as you did that I've ever coached.
And you did phenomenal.
And, yeah, I loved it. I loved it. The weight cutting was the worst part. That I fucking hated because it was every week. It wasn't like you cut weight for
a
fight.
A break. Yeah.
You cut, and I would go up 15, 20 pounds and get it go down every week in college,
right.
Which is not easy, especially when I was actually getting pussy in college and enjoying my life and having fun. All of a sudden wrestling starts and you're cutting 20 pounds. I was like, And I was cutting.
Did it wear on you?
Oh yeah, that's why I stopped doing it. I was doing it way the wrong way. I was sleeping with the window open every night to shiver off weight in Binghamton, New York. I was putting on 19 layers. I was spitting in a cup all day. I was just doing shit that I shouldn't have done. I was wearing two rubber suits at practice. And then the year that I quit wrestling, two kids died in my league for jump roping in the shower with the fucking with the thing
on
with the heat on,
closing
and they just passed out. But I was doing shit like that.
Oh, okay.
So that's it's not the right way to do it. So anyway, that's me. Forget me. Let's talk about other fights on this card. Who else we got on this card? Josh is sleeping. Can we talk about this card at all?
You didn't even so you said who you want to win between the two?
The Sarah McMahon fight?
Sarah McMahon?
Yeah, we all voted for Sarah.
So it's three, yeah, all of us.
Yeah, we think
I
Sarah
thought that right off
win.
The bat when I first saw that she was going to fight, I thought, "Oh, this is a wrap. Misha's about it's about."
Really? You think it's a wrap?
And you know what? The reason I say, like, I don't just say like you say, "Oh, you just absolutely." When I say it, I do a little bit of research. I go, "Okay, this is where they're weak and they're going to have a problem with." Okay, her stand up, she's not going to have a problem. One hits harder.
I think, like,
it's not like
Sarah,
if
she does consistently train with Marcella Garcia, especially with her wrestling base, like, her grappling should be really difficult for Misha. Because Misha is, like, a mediocre wrestler who, you know, has mediocre grappling.
She's not mediocre. She won some tournaments.
Wrestled. Good for her. It's great.
All right, so Tim Bosch versus Talis Latis.
Tim Bosch.
Bosch.
Really?
Bosch,
yeah.
By knockout?
Yes.
All right. Why?
Because I'm a fan of his.
You're a fan of his?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not going to say just because. I'm not really a fan of his. I don't, you know, I think he's some of his movements awkward. He just looks. Like, you see, okay, to me, you see some fighters who are sharp.
Yeah.
To me, a lot of his movement is just.
I think Talis Latis wins this fight. I think Tim Bosch is a monster, but.
He's a monster. He's more of a monster than he is anything else.
He caught Brad Tavares. I think he kind of caught him with him coming in. Brad was winning that fight. Before that, he got subbed real quick by Luke Rockhold. I mean, it was like a 15-second sub or something.
Yeah,
and
Talis Latis, it was one of the fastest.
Yeah, it was something ever. Insane. Mm-hmm. And Talis Latis is a great jiu-jitsu guy. I think Talis takes this. Derek Brunson, Ed Herman. Any
Brunson.
Opinions?
Brunson.
Derek Brunson trains.
Who did he fight last?
Trains at Team Jackson. He lost to Yoel Romero, but he was winning two fights and then lost. He got knocked out.
Yeah, Brunson. I want Brunson.
He's a beast. Ed Herman's a beast also, but I think Brunson wins this fight.
Herman.
Herman? Really?
Yeah. Brunson fades.
All right, John. He
Brunson
does.
Brunson fades. He fades. First round comes out hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second round comes out hard. Then watch. First, third round. Sad candle. He's wilting ass. He wilts. That motherfucker wilts.
Right.
He's just wilting.
John Lineker, Ian McCall. This should be a great fight. Uncle Creepy. John Lineker hits hard.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, he hits like he's got seriously power.
But Ian McCall's gotten so much better.
So much better. I think he's a better fighter. Lineker. He's on a huge rise. A couple years ago, he lost to the green hair guy. What's his name? The guy with the crazy hair.
Lou Godinot
beat him. It was just crazy how far he's come from that. But he's missed weight like the last four out of five fights. Terrible weight cutter. Terrible weight cutter. I mean, like the worst. But I saw Ian, and Ian looks fucking focused. I know Ian had to go. He had a day job at one point. He was so miserable about that. But Ian, I hung out with him a couple last week we did the video together. Creepy. I like Creepy all day. And Creepy knows he's one fight away from a title shot. If he wins this,
I think
one more fight.
Okay, the reason I say Creepy. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's weird just called just Creepy. The reason I say it is because he knows he has that motivation knowing that this could be that next step.
Yeah.
And so that's why. That's my reason. Okay. And focus.
And they have a lot of bad blood in this fight. So, okay, so we're picking Creepy. Once again, see how we do. Compare your picks to ours
and
DraftKings.com.
Nice
DraftKings.com. Now, Diego Brandão versus Jimmy Hetz. Jimmy Hetz. Okay. And Jordan Mayne versus Thiago Alves.
I think Thiago Alves is going to take that one. I think they're trying to build him back up.
They are. He's a streaky fighter.
Yeah.
Streaky fighter.
He's a very streaky fighter, but... He's got that, like, because they call him the Pitbull, right?
Yeah.
He just definitely has, like, that Pitbull fighter style.
Well, he's a guy that fought GSP. Yeah. He's a guy that ran through Josh Koscheck. I mean, he's a guy that's been around. Now, Jordan Mean, by the way, he's the guy whose father got arrested at the weigh-in. Remember? Two fights ago, his father was, during the weigh-in, like... Allegedly groping a girl or something and got arrested. Like, he ended up winning the fight, Jordan Mean. But, man, talk about a distraction.
Wow.
You bring your dad to a weigh-in and he...
His father's his head trainer, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, then that's even more interesting.
Yeah.
I
talk about no distractions.
Yeah.
I felt
maybe
bad
for
him.
He should be called Uncle Creepy.
Yeah,
he should be. Because that's, wow. Dad, I'm trying to fight here. Stop fingering that chick. I mean, yeah. It's just like weird to me.
Especially when guys are weighing in.
Is that what makes you hot when guys are weighing in?
Oh, man.
That's weird to me.
That is very, very strange.
And that would throw me off. I don't care. I'd like. Thinking about what's going on with my pops, like, yo, yeah, man, don't sit by my girl, Dad.
Oh,
swear
man.
To God, man, I'll jump off there, fucking choke you out, Dad.
Oh, God. So, all right, well, listen, I think that's our podcast today because Yancey's not coming in. Anything you want to plug?
And, first off, any of these fighters I was talking shit about, if you see me, because sometimes I see you at the shows, you know, this is just my opinion. And don't run up on me because I am strapped. And you think I'm joking. And
really, Carrie?
No,
fuck around. Not anymore. I got switchblades.
I'll cut you.
But where can people find you?
You can go to my website, iamshang.com. You can get free tickets to certain shows. I'll be at the Improv tonight, Irvine.
Nice.
And you can go to @comedianshang on my Twitter, and Instagram is the same, @comedianshang. And look out for my special, Shang is Shangri.
Nice.
Yeah, that's going to be my special.
And you're on Heroes, right?
Yeah, Heroes.
Fox show.
I just did Gotham Live.
Yeah.
I just did that last Thursday. And I'm going to be doing a podcast series.
Nice.
Monkey with a Brain Bitch.
Yeah, that's the name of your podcast.
Yeah,
we just
turned it into a show, and it's been doing really well.
Nice. Now, Marina. I remember the last couple of weeks you said you were going to have some big news possibly this week. Is there any big news?
Not yet. Stay tuned. Stay tuned.
All right. Does it rhyme with Schmelator or Mighton FC or Megacy?
No.
No?
Doesn't rhyme with anything else?
No, I just...
You just wait.
Just rhyme wait. With
Invicta? So... All right, so where can people find you?
Marina.
At the Marina?
At Marina Shapiro everywhere.
At Marina Shapiro everywhere. Yeah. And I will be, where am I going to be? At Inside Jokes Comedy Club tomorrow night, Russell Simmons, Inside Jokes Comedy Club. And then this weekend, I will be at the MMA Awards, which I wrote all the sketches for, and I'll be there. So if you see me in Vegas, come say hi. The World MMA Awards. Presented by Fighters Only. And also, Saturday night, I'm playing the University of Wisconsin School of Mining or something. The School of Engineering. The Wisconsin School of Engineering.
Did we do that gig?
No, we did. We did another school.
We did another school, yeah.
So I'll be there. If you're in Wisconsin, come find me. I would love to see you and say hello. Thank you to all our fans. And thanks for everyone who's been submitting for the T-shirt contest. There have been some great ones. Yeah. We're going to pick a winner by Friday. So
yeah.
Keep sending them to...
No, how about by next week?
By next week, we'll have a winner. And the winner of the T-shirt contest, by the way, gets my autograph, my CD, also a Marina Shafir signed pair of scissors, and...
What?
Also, you get to come on the show. I'm not actually physically, but you can call into the show. So you get a spot on the show, Marina Shafir, pair of scissors, and my CD. So thank you, everybody, for listening to MMA Roasted. Thank you, Fox Sports. Take care and have a good weekend.